Yeah, probably, for sure.
And what'd you do?
Well, me personally, I just kept working, worked at it, pushed myself, stayed away from it, got away from basketball for a while just not even.
You're listening to KVON 1440 Napa, California, the voice of the North Bay wine country. The following is a KVON sports presentation.
It's high school football coming to you on a Friday night. It's homecoming for the Vintage Crushers of Napa, hosting Casa Grande Gauchos from Petaluma. It's high school football from Napa, California. Good evening, everyone, and welcome in to Memorial Stadium. Once again, we can say a beautiful night for football action. I'm Ira C. Smith, and we're joined tonight by our color commentary guy that is a former player, former record holder at Napa High, former coach, and now helping us in the booth, Kent Fry.
Ira, it's great to be here, and it's going to be a fun night. The Vintage Crushers, this is their first league game, Ira, and I look for them to come out after having a bye last week. I look for them to come out of the gates fast, hard, and swinging. And I look for them to make a statement into the league that, hey, we had a bye last week. All the rest of you guys played. Now here we come. Here we are. You're going to have to reckon with us. So it's going to be a fun night. Homecoming's always fun. Look for Coach Dylan Leach to have these guys fired up, ready to go.
Joining us with the statistics tonight is not Dino Alessio, but we're fortunate to have Jacob Grant with us tonight. Jacob's all set, though, pen and pencil and stat sheets, and here we go.
Yeah, after doing a game by myself last week, I'm ready for about anything that can get thrown at me. I like doing stats. It's fun to be out here. I enjoy Memorial Stadium, and it's fun to watch the Vintage Crushers hopefully take down the Casa Grande Gauchos.
And another Napa High graduate, Angelo Lyons, is our engineer back at the KVON studio. He was an intern last year, and now, after having graduated, is with the KVON staff, and I might say does a multitude of things there.
Definitely in the running for Rookie of the Year in my book, Angelo. That's you're getting my vote, no doubt about it. You know, go Sharks, Angelo.
Coming into tonight's game, the Vintage Crushers have a 2-2 record, and as Kent Fry alluded to, they had a bye last week. While looking over at Casa Grande, they are 1-4. That one victory was an exciting come-from-behind win over Justin Siena last week. 36-35 was the final, as Casa Grande was trailing by 7 points with 16 seconds left in the game when they scored a touchdown. They could have kicked the extra point and set the game into overtime, but they went for 2 points and got it. And what a game.
Absolutely, Aaron. What's that tell you about the head coach? He's a gambler. Home field advantage, he wanted to go for it. You know, of course, we have that, and Coach Leach, he's proved that over and over again. He's not afraid to hold back, and he'll go for that two-point play as well. So head coaches, both gamblers, they'll throw it out there. They're going to give it their all.
Just a reminder that our broadcast of local football action, as well as other sports throughout the calendar year, brought to you by our Napa Valley Sports Boosters. They're the ones that make it possible. And we'll tell you about the JV contest here in just a moment, as the two teams had entered tonight's game, each unbeaten. The Vintage JVs were 4-0, and the Casa Grande JVs were 5-0. And just taking a look at what they had done, Casa Grande had scored 177 points and given up just 43. Now, this is the JVs we're talking about. The last 2 weeks, the Gauchos had shut out their JV opponents, defeating Justin Siena of Napa 37-0, defeating Maria Carrillo of Santa Rosa 42-0. The week before, they beat San Marin of Novato 42-13. Prior to that, it was a win over Montgomery of Santa Rosa 24-6. And they opened the season at Windsor, what had been their closest game, 32-24, a win there. Now, the Vintage JVs, likewise, scored 146 points and given up only 32 points. And the previous game was a shutout over Bellarmine Bells, 36-0. But the JVs, Kent, that was a surprise when they played the Lincoln JVs in Stockton, beating a good football program team 49-7.
Yeah, I tell you, those Vintage JVs, they like to throw shutouts, Ira. That's or give up very, very few points. They are tough.
Well, what happened here tonight? A shutout for the Vintage Crusher JVs as they led 7-0 at the end of the first quarter as they got a touchdown by Riley Hatfield. Then in the second quarter, they got two more touchdowns to make it 22-0 at halftime. The first touchdown of that second quarter was the catch by Reed McCaffrey. They went for a two-point conversion and a pass to Nick Shutish. That made it, well, that made it 15-0. Then they had a 48-yard pass and run combination as Shidez passed to Reed McCaffrey on that 48-yard touchdown catch. And that was the second touchdown then in the first half for McCaffrey. And then that made it 22-0 at halftime. There was one touchdown in the third quarter, and that was by Riley Hatfield again. He had the first touchdown in the game, and he got a 40-yard run and got the touchdown. Then after a penalty, they kicked a 25-yard extra point. That made it 29-0, and that's the way it stood up. As the JVs now for Vintage, 5-0, and for Casa Grande, 5-1.
Absolutely. That's got to make Coach Leach so happy, Ira, to see that JV program just keep building and building year after year. And since Dylan has come into this program, the whole program has just stepped up times 10, very easily times 10. It's just, it's not at the top level yet, but it's getting there. And Coach Leach has him on the right track, no doubt about it.
In 45 years that Vintage High has been in existence, Dylan Leach is the eighth coach that the Crushers have had, and he is the only one that has graduated from Vintage and has come back to coach.
There you go. Homegrown.
Yeah. And this is his third year as the head coach. We'll be back and we'll hear from the coaches, not only Dylan Leach from Vintage, but also Dennis Brunk from Casa Grande, the Gauchos of Petaluma, when we continue here with our countdown to kickoff after these messages. Well, welcome back into Memorial Stadium now as the Vintage Crushers are completing their warm-ups here on homecoming. This is the ninth year for Memorial Stadium, and they're just getting excited about hosting tonight's game. First time in league play for the Crushers.
Absolutely, Aaron. It's like I was saying earlier, I expect the Crushers to come out swinging hard. They want to send a statement to the rest of the league here, Ira. There's no doubt about it. 2 weeks off is a long time. The kids get restless. They don't want to be they're ready to hit somebody in a different colored jersey instead of themselves. And you know, and knowing Dylan Leach the way I do, I mean, he's got these guys good and hungry, and they're going to be ready to go. I personally think Vintage is going to make a big statement tonight. I'll be surprised if they don't.
Well, we were talking to the mother of the starting quarterback, who's only a the quarterback, it is only a sophomore, not the mother part, but Jacob Aaron, she says her son is ready to go.
Health report was good, Ira. Well, you know, our inside source there asked how Jacob's feeling, and she said great, and he's ready, and the whole team's ready.
Well, Petaluma sends Casa Grande High School into Memorial Stadium tonight. The Gauchos, with their school colors of forest green and gold, are coached by Dennis Brunk, and this is his second year as the head coach. He came over from Santa Rosa, where he was for a year, but prior to that, he spent 24 years in Colorado coaching football over in that state. And I don't know if they changed much as far as high school football, but I imagine it's quite similar.
Friday nights everywhere, you know, especially especially in Texas, Ira. That's where
that's
Friday night
I'll
is.
Oh, I tell you. Huge stadiums there. Well, you've been there for high school football.
Absolutely. Big stadiums. 10 times the size of Memorial Stadium. Easy.
Bands
with 250 members as a small band. You know, high school football is unbelievable in Texas.
Yeah. Well, let's find out what the new coach, this is Dennis Brunk, but this is his second year as the head coach for Casa Grande. But get his thoughts on last week. As we mentioned, Casa Grande scored with 16 seconds to go, went for a two-point conversion against the Justin Siena Braves, and they made it to win 36-35.
Well, Dennis, that was quite a game last week, but you had to feel good coming away from Justin Siena with a win.
Yes, absolutely. It kind of catapulted us into the new league this year, so it was a very exciting one for us.
Did you have any questions about whether you were going to go for one or two with 16 seconds to go in that game?
Yeah, that question's been asked a bunch, and as soon as they scored, I told our O coordinator, we're going to go score and go for two for the win.
And that's what you did. Now, tell us about that game. Did you get the type of performance that your team is capable of throughout the season?
Yeah, I mean, we had a good game. There was very positive energy. We had a great week of practice. You know, their offense did some things, took advantage of a few of our mistakes. So our offense had to play a little bit of defense, play a little catch-up on offense to make up ground. But, yeah, it was a great way to start out the league.
Well, it's a new league, and you'll be coming against some teams that you haven't seen for a while.
That's the exciting part. You just said it. That's the exciting part for us, to see some new stuff that we have not seen, which, again, will be finished tonight.
Well, if last week was any indication, it should be some exciting football for the balance of the season.
We're looking forward to it, absolutely.
What can we look from your team?
You know, tempo offense. We run a very tempo offense. That means we're running with its speed. It's a spread offense, and we like to go quick. Defense, we're going to do a little better job of protecting between the tackles, and I think we ought to see a very exciting game.
Mm-hmm. How has your kicking game been?
Good. We have a phenomenal punter. Field goal, too, as well, PAT, but boy, he can boot the ball. Very good kicking game.
Welcome to Napa.
Thank you. We're excited.
Well, we might mention that their kicker is a guy named Ian McKissick, and he not only does punting, he does place kicking, he does the PATs, and we'll be seeing him out there on occasion tonight, and he's a good one. And so is their quarterback, as we just heard from Jacob Grant, who was watching the warm-ups and said, boy, that number two, Jaden Bosarge is the way he says his last name, is really looking good out there throwing that football.
Yeah, and you know, you were talking about his stat, how he has the 4-3 touchdown to interception ratio, and I feel like this level, that can be kind of skewed in favor of the interceptions, only because I've seen so many receivers bobble the ball and get it ripped right out of their hands before they complete the catch, and they still count that as an interception, which they should. But I think that it doesn't help their stats when their receivers are bobbling every ball that gets thrown at him, especially with the gas he's throwing.
Well, he also carried the ball 10 times last week and had 109 yards in rushing. And you consider that there were several negative yardage when he got sacked and still was able to have 109 positive yards for that game. In fact, on the ground last week, Casa Grande rolled up 370 yards, and they raced for 5 touchdowns in that win over the Braves.
Yeah, it'll be fun to see how Dylan Leach's defense can try to contain him, because it seems like he can get it done both in the air and on the ground. So should be fun to watch the defense go to work against him tonight.
We'll be back in a moment, and we'll hear from Vintage High graduate and the third-year head coach for the Vintage Crushers, Dylan Leach, as we continue here our countdown to kickoff back after these messages. Well, it's homecoming for the Vintage Crushers, Dylan Leach, as we mentioned, in his third year. And Kent Fry, one thing that Dylan wants to do is, in addition to getting into the playoffs, is to win at least a playoff game. It's been 32 years since the Vintage Crushers last won a playoff game, and then they won a section championship back in 1986.
And you're right, Ira. It's tough, you know, to get into the playoffs, number one, and then you know, the section that Vintage has always been a part of is a very tough section, and usually Vintage would draw one of the top Sacramento schools as their first-round opponent in the playoffs, and it was a road trip, and tough to win on the road the playoffs. Not making excuses for Vintage High, it's just tough to win on the road, and you're playing a big powerhouse program from the Sacramento area.
And it'll be interesting in this new section, the North Coast section, after leaving the Sac Joaquin section, to find out about the situation for the divisions and how Napa and Vintage will probably be up in Division One, Justin Senna down in Division Four, Sonoma probably down around Division Four, and I'm not sure where Petaluma and Casa Grande would fall in that, but kind of a different rating system over here in the North Coast section.
It is, and it's going to be new for everybody to see how the playoffs pan out, if there's at-large berths and so forth, and it's going to be different, it's going to be new, and I think we're all going to learn as the season goes along.
Well, let's learn about tonight's game from head coach Dylan Leach. As we mentioned, his third year as head coach for the Crushers.
Well, coach, as the season is progressing, looks like the team is coming together. It looks like a little bit of improvement each week.
Yeah, I mean, that's the goal, Ira, right? We got to improve every week and you know, buy into the systems and execute at a high level, and I think we'll be all right.
You've had a tough preseason, and now you open up your league play, six straight weeks of conference, or five straight weeks.
Yeah, league play, it's kind of like a new season, right? So to the kids, we're all 0-0, and we got to go from here. And you know, obviously, Costa got a big win going for two in the last few seconds. So they're 1-0 and on a high right now, and we got to go in there and start strong.
This is the first time that homecoming, or at least since your time, that they've had a head coach as the also an alum of the school.
Yeah, I'm the first one. I'm the first one that alumni here, and so that means a lot to me. You know, I believe burgundy and gold, and it's a big thing. It's a big deal to me. It's a big deal to my family and the community.
Are the homecoming activities detracting a bit from practices or not?
No, I don't see that. These kids have been bought into practice, and we've been doing a good job. So, and I tell the kids all the time, you know, homecoming's great and all that, and I kind of give my experience of, you know, that's for the students, it's for the community. I could not tell you who won my year, but I could tell you the score of my football game.
Yeah. What about the lineups now? Are you pretty set on the players there, or are you still shifting?
No, I think we're set. I mean, we like to rotate a lot of guys. I mean, we feel like getting packages in, keeping people fresh, is important. But we also have an understanding of the pecking order and who's been performing, and try to get those guys in the game as much as possible.
Are you doing the calling on offense?
Yeah, I'm the offense coordinator. Yeah.
And tell us about how you look at a particular situation as far as determining whether you'll go for it or punt.
I'm going to go for it.
And what about overall aspect of this week as it's been homecoming week? How's the attitude been on the players' part?
I think these players, they're fun to be around. I mean, they're a good group of kids. So we're excited about just getting another opportunity to go out. We haven't played in a week, and that's kind of like the you know, that's the hard part, right? You don't know where you're at this week, so we got to make sure we start strong and go out there and execute from the get-go, and I think we'll be all right.
You saw Casa Grande over in Petaluma against Justin last week. What did you think?
That was a great game, right? So it was very entertaining. It was they were very evenly matched, so it was hard to gauge you know, who was good and who was, you know, better and this and that. But, I mean, hey, they're big. They're going to be a lot bigger than us. They're a big team. And, you know, but that being said, it's going to be come down to, you know, field position and ball security and execution and all the things that make up for a great football game.
Heck, those were the comments of Dylan Leach. And I looked down at my roster after talking to him, and he indicated that line is big. Well, they have Marlon Zepeda, that's 305 pounds. Zach Odetto, who is a starter at a tackle, 298 pounds. They have a guard, Daniel Chavez starts out. He is 241 pounds. And then they have Max Odetto, and he is 347 pounds.
Well, Ira, you know, I mean, that's a lot of pounds right there, a lot of meat. But, you know, I mean, it's one thing to be big up front. But with that spread offense, you better be quick. They got to be quick feet. And Coach Connor always taught me that. A good lineman's going to have quick feet.
Taking a look at the standings coming into tonight's contest, as there has been just 1 week of league play, and the teams that were winners last week, American Canyon, Sonoma Valley, and Casa Grande, and the three losing teams, Napa, Justin Siena, and Petaluma. And then there is the Vintage team that will be playing its first league game tonight. Overall, the only two teams with winning records, Justin Siena and Petaluma, both of whom lost last week.
Absolutely, yeah. It's going to be a fun league, Ira. I'm telling you, it's going to be a real fun league. American Canyon started out, you know, 0 for the preseason, comes away with a victory, and you know, Justin, who's just been winning, and then loses the heartbreaker, you know, to this Casa Grande team. So it's still out in the open air. Again, I'm going back to what I am saying, that Coach Leach is going to come out swinging just to make a statement in the league.
Well, Napa has a bye this week, and, of course, we're here at Memorial Stadium in Napa, California, for the homecoming game. The Vintage Crushers hosting Casa Grande of Petaluma. Other games in the league, in the Vine Valley Athletic League, Justin Siena is home to Petaluma over at Dodge Stadium, and Sonoma Valley is playing at American Canyon. We hope to give you updates on scores from those games. Also tonight, St. Helena is home to Clear Lake. Anderson Valley is at Calistoga. And as we mentioned, Napa High with a bye this week. Also, there's some college football tonight, Washington State at USC. Stanford tomorrow will be at Oregon, and Cal has a bye this week. And the Vintage Band forming in the south end zone. There is a bit of a breeze, not as stiff as it has been in some of the previous games, but blowing from the south to the north, from our right to our left here at Memorial Stadium, which is the usual direction that it blows.
You know, Ira, it's football weather. It's just typical Friday night football weather here at Memorial Stadium. Nice and brisk and chilly with a little breeze. And, you know, it may settle down. The breeze may settle down by halftime, but I look for a great game.
Well, the Vintage Band will be marching onto the field very shortly and will be giving us their rendition of the national anthem. But it takes them a little while to get into formation and get out to the center. We can mention that tonight's referee will be Roy Hammond. The umpire is Brian Willis. The back judge is Javier Pino. The line judge is Spencer Crum. And the linesman is John Pillar. So those are the officials assigned by the North Coast section for tonight's contest. The Vintage Marching Band with a very quiet cadence. You probably cannot even hear that, so we're not going to attempt to pick up the playing of the national anthem, but it's always nice to have the band marching here for the Vintage Crushers, and this, of course, being homecoming. The Vintage Crushers, with a bye last week, with having played four games, averages receiving-wise 85.8 yard per contest, while Casa Grande averages 175.4. We'll give you a lot more information when we continue back here at Memorial Stadium following our national anthem. Taking time out for this. Memorial Stadium in Napa, California for tonight's homecoming game. The Vintage Crushers of Napa hosting the Casa Grande Gauchos from Petaluma. Along with Kent Fry, this is Ira C. Smith. Jacob Grant is our statistician tonight, and Angelo Lyons, our engineer. And Kent, we're just about set for league football action, the first league game ever for Vintage in the Vine Valley Athletic League.
They're ready, Ira. You can sense it. You really can, and we got a good crowd. Obviously it's homecoming, but it's another great night, and I see the Crushers just about ready to come out on the field, and they look ready.
We will have scores coming in from other games, as we hope to at least, and pass those along to you as we progress through the ball game here at Memorial Stadium. The Vintage Crushers on the near sideline, attired in their burgundy outfits with the burgundy football helmets and the large gold numerals. on the far side of the field wearing their white uniforms with the forest green, the Gauchos, as forest green and gold are their school colors. And we'll particularly watch for Bo Sarge, as he is a 5'9 senior, weighs about 160, so Kenny, he is not big.
No, he's not big, but he obviously controls that offense, Ira, that spread offense that the coach was pertaining to, and obviously he remains calm and composed to lead your team back, you know, for a game-winning drive and then to throw the two-point conversion. That's something to be said about the quarterback.
Well, the officials have the captains out at the center of the field, 50-yard line. And our own Jacob Grant's going to tell about the flip of the coin as Roy Hammond, the official, is explaining things now to the captains. Roy officiated in the first ever state championship high school football game.
A lot of experience there.
Yep. And he has been an outstanding football official for many years. Not only football, he also does baseball, and he does basketball. We've seen him at a lot of basketball games. So we know that the game is going to be in good hands tonight from an officiating standpoint. So let's go over to Jacob Grant now, as they're just about ready for the flip of the coin.
Well, he must have some thick skin, seeing he's ref so many sports for so long. I don't think I could even do baseball for one game without getting a little hurt. They're still explaining the rules down there. So
he's going through the entire rule book,
he,
I think.
I think he is.
Okay, boys, what we have here is called a football.
Yeah. There's the flip there, Jake.
Vinny's just calling the flip. There.
Can't really tell from up here. It looks like they'll take it down towards the locker rooms, if possible. We'll get the call here in a second.
Well, we know that Vinny's going to be kicking off.
It looks like, yep, it'll be Vintage kicking into the locker rooms.
So as we start out, the team from Petaluma, the Casa Grande Gauchos. And Kent, you mentioned when you played for Napa High, there was no Casa Grande High School.
No, and that was before the Monticello Empire League. It was the North Bay League, and not the North Coast section. It was called the Redwood Empire, which went all the way up to the Oregon border, basically from Napa over to the coast. And it was Napa and Vintage, Vallejo and Hogan, Santa Rosa and Montgomery, and Petaluma and Ukiah. And let me tell you, Ira, you didn't want to ride that old yellow school bus that had a stick shift manual transmission up to Ukiah. You didn't want to lose that game because that was a long ride home.
You're listening to KVON 1440, Napa, California, the voice of the North Bay wine country, and streaming on the internet at kvon.com. And we hope our streaming is working tonight as we get set for the kickoff. The Gauchos are sending Matt Herrera, a 5'7 junior, and Dominic McHale, a 6'1 junior, back deep. McHale and them are talking at the tent. One of them will come forward, and they will only have one back to receive the kick when it actually is done. What Vinny's has to figure out is which one is going to be the last back standing there, the one that's going to be fielding the ball.
Well, they're both dead center, Ira. It makes you wonder if your age is going to kick one to the corner of the, corner of the field or so forth.
Here is Eddie Gonzalez. He's set to kick off. We're set at Memorial Stadium as this game is underway. The kick is going way back toward the end zone. Going back and picking it up in the end zone and downing it there is Matt Herrera. So Herrera will forego any kind of return, and that'll be a touchback out to the 20-yard line.
Ira, I can't express how big special teams are. When you pin that opponent on the 20-yard line on the opening kickoff, that's just great. You know, marches, they have to march 80 yards just to get a score. That's great special team work right there.
The quarterback, Jaden Bosarge, his longest touchdown pass has been a 28-yarder this season. He has double wide out either side, and a setback there. He hands the ball off to his tackle right at the line of scrimmage. Tried a little slant off to the right, and Matt Herrera was brought down just as he crossed the 20-yard line. So the Crusher defensive line looking good there on the left side there. as Zach Daniels on that defensive line in on the stop, and the Crushers were pulled offside. Nice cadence out there by Bosarge.
And Ira, that's poor discipline. That's a mental mistake that'll drive the coaches crazy. Defensive line, you watch the snap of the ball. You're not going on sound. You're watching the snap of the ball.
Bosarge working from the shotgun formation. He has a single setback. Double wides out each side as Bosarge takes the snap, drops back to pass. Now he rolls out of the pocket to the right. His pass is incomplete. It was only about a 5-yard pass to Matt Herrera, but Herrera looked to see how close the defender was to him and couldn't hold on to the ball.
You hit it right on the head, Ira. He heard footsteps coming, took his eye right off and looked up at the defender. All he had was a little 4-yard catch, two steps, and he's got a first down.
That's going to bring up a possession play now from their own 26-yard line as Jaden Bosarge from the shotgun looks over to the sideline before calling the play.
Vintage in a 3-4, Ira. Three down linemen, four backers.
Matt Herrera, the only setback to the right. There's the pass to Herrera. He catches it at the 25, and he's driven out of bounds at the 26-yard line by Jacob Bittner, the defensive back, who's a 5'10 senior. So the
Good coverage by Bittner, and then you had help with Weber coming over, and Herrera only pick up 1 yard, if anything, there, Ira.
It's going to be interesting to see Weber. He is so involved in so much of the action, as you remember.
I do.
He drops back to the 40-yard line. Here's the punt by McKissick, and Weber's calling for it. No, he doesn't call it. He just takes it. 49, 50. He's down the sideline, the 40, the 30, the 20. Boom, he's banged out of bounds by N. McKissick, who was the kicker, and he bounces the ball return. Michael Weber out of bounds.
Good play there, Ira. Vintage had a play call on. They had a return left, and the punt went that way. And they had a little wall set up. Weber came up, made the catch, and made nice return on that.
So the Crushers get excellent field position as they come out for the first play from scrimmage for them at the 22-yard line of the Gauchos. The center is going to be Jack Odell. He centered the team last year as a sophomore. Interesting to see his father, Mike Odell, in the stands instead of on the sideline as he has spent so many years coaching. From the 22-yard line, the quarterback is a sophomore, Jacob Aaron, 5'11", 180 pounds. He will send out wide to the right side, Joshua Robert, who is the brother of James Robert, who was outstanding last year. Roy Hammond, the referee, has blown the whistle. And he goes over, and an equipment adjustment is necessary for the quarterback. Or he had a bracelet or something on, so he has to come to the sideline.
And he has to come out for a play.
And Troy Gisletta. Gisletta looked good last time we saw them play, if you remember, Kent, as he came in.
He did a great job.
Yeah, he is there now with two in the backfield. He pitches to the right side. There's Weber. Weber cuts in at the 20. He's down the 15, spins away from one, hit by another, dropped it about the 10-yard line, picks up a first down.
Ira, they came out tied in right with a little wing, and then the backs were offset to the right, just a little power formation. Basically ran a toss sweep, a reverse toss to the tailback. Weber making a nice first down on that, a good pickup of 10.
The ball is right at the 10-yard line. So it's first down, goal to go from the 10-yard line. No score in our game. Play just over a minute now. Vintage on the offense sends a wide out way to the left side. And they hand off, going to the left side and getting inside the 5-yard line on the carry was Jesus Galvin, a 5'8 senior. Stopped, well, they're putting it down just outside of the 3-yard line. It's going to be second down, goal to go. 3 yards away from that goal line.
That time Vintage was tied in left, backs offset to the left. Just ran a little drive series, called it 45 drive.
Aaron.
Full house.
Has Shemkolt behind him. And there's a little mix-up, I think, there. I don't know if they're trying a counter or what.
Yeah, it's a fumbled snap is what it was. Jacob Aaron lost control of the ball there, Ira, is what happened. And then when he went to get it, he put his knee down, and that's why Roy Hammond called it down.
So third down, goal to go. The ball is outside of the 5-yard line. Crusher's getting down there. They want to get into the end zone. They're running out of the I formation, and it is handed off to the right side to Weber. Weber gets inside the three, the two. He's down to the one. Did he get in? And for a touchdown! Weber crosses the goal line, and the Vintage Crushers get on the scoreboard.
Just power football, Ira. Weber just powering his way there out there from about 5 yards out. Good blocking up front, just to run a 44 drive series.
Well, he was slowed down early on, but was able to get his momentum to carry him on into the end zone for that touchdown. It comes with 9.5 minutes to go here in the first quarter. And the Crushers show they're lining up in a water pick formation. And looks like they're going to go into that formation with Michael Weber being the receiver there, and he has Schemkel right behind him. They put a man in motion from right to left, and Weber keeps the ball. He dives, he goes in, and it's a two-point conversion success.
Just outman him over there, Ira. You just count bodies. If you outman him, you run the play. You got about three different options. You can run option, the quarterback keeps the ball just like that, or Weber does in this case. There's a lot of different options you can run off that.
Okay, well, that is the first score of the game, and it comes with 9.5 minutes to go. We'll be back with the Crusher's second kickoff of the game after this timeout. Eddie Gonzalez kicks off. He's got the wind behind him, and he sails it into the end zone and out of bounds. So it'll be brought out to the 20-yard line for another touchback.
Absolutely, Ira. Again, special teams forcing the Gauchos to start from their own 20, and last time Vintage stopped them on three downs. Three downs and out, set up a really nice punt return. It was a definite return left and was able to get the ball close to their end zone and make a drive in there. So Vintage, you like to do that all over again here.
Did it surprise you that the Crushers came out in the water pick formation?
No, not at all. They like that.
Okay, and now let's see what the Gauchos can do. They have two setbacks, and the fake handoff, the pitch out into the left flat, is complete over there to Jordan Gramajo, and the 6-foot senior is dropped. Let's see where they spot the ball. It's going to be a short gain on the play of maybe 3 yards.
Weber coming up from his DB, forcing that play back inside. Cutter Lowe coming up for support.
Yeah, Cutter Lowe is one of the safeties on the far side. Jacob Aaron, the quarterback, safety on the other side. And a handoff the backfield and a hit as they got in there to the quarterback as he tried to hand off, kept the ball, and he took a heavy hit. So
Jacob Bittner, Ira, came in on that from that outside backer spot. He read that and just shot the gap. Made a great stop.
Jacob got Jaden on that. Jaden Bossards, the quarterback, looks. He's fires down the middle, and it is complete for a first down to Dominic McHale, one of the wide receivers. Still in the Gaucho territory, but he moved the football and the chains on that one to the 39-yard line. Going to be a first down now for the Gauchos. There's a quick snap, and the ball is carried over the left tackle by Matt Herrera, and Herrera gets maybe a yard on the play. The right side of that Crusher defense converged around him, led by Colton Fisher and others.
Yeah, Jose Alfaro was in there. There's that patience that Jake was talking about by the quarterback, Bassard.
There's a quick snap again, and the pass is incomplete. There was a hit made. That was a pretty hard hit by Camus Barrett, but the Gaucho is slow getting up there.
It was a clean hit. Ira, yeah. Head was to the side, caught the receiver in the chest, but not with his head. He wasn't leading with his head, put the head to the side. I think he just got the wind knocked out of him.
Look who comes out there to assist on the situation.
Yeah, the old man himself, Bruce McCall.
Bruce McCall, 45 years providing free service to the Napa Valley Unified School System in their athletic program. What a great thing that Napa Valley Physical Therapy does, mainly through the efforts of Bruce McCall and his staff.
Yeah, it's community service at its best, Ira. There's no doubt about it. And that play happened right in front of the Vintage bench, so Bruce was able to get there first before the trainers of Casa Grande, who had to come for the other sidelines.
Well, that was Nate Bussey was the player, and he's not going to be out for long. He's going to the far side on his own power. So Bussey is okay. He's a 5'11 senior. So with the incompleted forward pass, that brings up third down and 9 yards to go. 8 minutes to go, 8-0 here in the first quarter. Vintage has the lead, flag on the play.
Again, that's that, you know, just going on a hard count, and that time Dylan Cook, you know, jumped, and no reason for that. The ball was right for him. He's coming from that backer spot.
Yeah.
He's coming out now. He's getting disciplined right now. Getting talking to.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, if you can't hold your water that way, all you got to do is watch the football. There's no excuse for that.
All right, set now. The quarterback passes out into the left flat, and it's complete, and then a tackle made right away as Jordan Gramajo is hit right away, and no gain on, even though the pass was completed.
No, Weber came up. Weber just fought off the receiver, stepped around him, and came up, made a nice clean tackle. Weber's having a great game. It's the first 5 minutes. It's all Weber right now.
Well, he drops back into his 25-yard line. And there is the punt. It's a good one. They kick it away from Weber over to the right side of the field, and it goes to about the 20-yard line. So they saw where Weber was situated, and a real nice job by Joey, or the McKissick, the kicker. The ball is right at the 20-yard line, 80 yards away from the goal line. 7.5 minutes to go. First quarter, 8-0 the score. Vintage has the lead, and the Crusher offense is back on the field, being led by their sophomore quarterback, Jacob Aaron.
Let's see what Coach Leach draws up now. He just went power football that first series. I bet he sticks with it here, Ira.
Mo Castro is in that backfield now as the tailback. Aaron gets the snap and gives to Castro. Castro over right tackle. Goes to the 25, the 30. Castro down the sideline, the 40. He's to midfield. Count him. 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown. Mo Castro just went into the backfield. There is a down player, but no flags on
field. There's a flag back at the line of scrimmage.
And it's an illegal block.
Chop block.
Yeah, chop block called against the Crushers, negating that great run by Mo Castro.
Yeah, Vintage came out, tight end right, flanker right, wide receiver left, backs offset, and they just ran off tackle with the tailback, and Castro was gone.
Zach Daniels, who does such a good job on that defensive line, is coming in, and he's going to be subbing in for the injured Crusher that Bruce McCall is assisting out there around the 25-yard line, and that is Alfonso Medina, the right guard. Medina is a 5'7", 200. Well, the automatic adjustment has been done by our transmitter, so we're back here at Memorial Stadium. The Crusher's back at their own 10-yard line. Looks like a loose ball down there. It is fumbled, and the Gauchos say they've got it, and they do.
Yeah.
Coming out with the football is Josh Garcia, a 5'10 senior, as there was a mix-up on the handoff, apparently.
No, it's between the center and the quarterback. I think Jacob just tried to bail out of there too quick. He's got to get the ball from the center, so that's something you'll see him working on the sideline.
So excellent field position now for the Gauchos as they try to capitalize here as they recover the football there at the 12-yard line of the Crushers. They come out with a tight formation, full house backfield, and they hand the ball off to Gramajo, and he fumbles the football, and there's a scramble at the 15-yard line. His forward progress had taken him a little further than that, but he was able to come up and retain possession of the football. But he did lose yardage on the play, loss of 3 yards on the carry, or in the fumble part. Jaden Bosarge, the Gauchos quarterback, quickly brings him up. He's under center. He hands off, and they try going right side this time and try to set some blocks there, as that was Dominic McHale. McHale picks up 1 yard on the carry over to the 14-yard line, heading to that south end zone, over by the right side hash marks. Just over 6 minutes to go. First quarter, 8-0. Vintage leads, but the Gauchos are threatening. Back to a shotgun formation goes Bosarge. Looks over to the sideline to his coach, Dennis Brunk. Now he has the signal. He has a setback, Herrera, right behind him. And the long count as he takes the snap. Looks to the left. Now down the middle. Now there's a flag on the play. There was a hold there. And the quarterback keeps the ball, and he's going to be brought down by Zakovic as he gets inside the 10.
Look for Vintage to take this penalty and back up the Gauchos here, Ira.
Pretty sure it would be the penalty against the Gauchos, but we wait and see what Roy Hammond indicates. He's going to walk it off here in a moment. In the meantime, he's going to give the indication, picking up the flag. Boy, that was the hold, 10 yards. Well, from taking the ball down around the 12-yard line, they are moving the wrong way. The ball is now back out at the 30-yard line.
Third and a bunch.
Third and 28 yards to go as Bosarge from the shotgun again looks over to the sideline. He still has Herrera back in the backfield with him. Bussey is off to the slot right side, and outside of him is McHale. Gets the snap, and he's going to try to run down. He is hit right away and is sacked back there. Several of the Crushers getting in, but Colton Fisher was one of the first.
Yeah, absolutely, Ira. That big nose guy right there, number 73, plays the defensive tackle. He is a brute, and he was there in a heartbeat. So was Daniels. Daniels was in there at about the same time.
Inside of 5 minutes to go here in the first quarter, 8-0 Vintage in the lead. Punting coming up for In McKissick. Back at his the Crusher 45. It's a high punt, but not going very deep. And it bounds at the 30 and goes back to the 34 and then back forward to the 33-yard line.
It's about a net gain of 1 yard there, Ira.
I don't know complete special teams rules, but if it doesn't travel 10 yards, is it considered legal touching, or is that only on kickoffs?
That's kickoffs.
Kickoffs?
Yeah.
No. Because that looked like
your
me
punt could even be negative.
That looked like me trying to punt a football right there. It looked like it would have gone off my shin.
You know, McKissick is such a good kicker, too. And he was kicking into the wind. But now the Crushers have avoided a score against them now as they draw them offside. The right side of that defensive line came across before the snap of the ball.
Yeah, this time it's Casa Grande jumping. All you got to do is watch that ball. When you're on defense, you just got to watch the ball snap. Don't go on the hard count. Watch the ball.
From the 33-yard line, the ball is moved out to the 38-yard line. It'll be first down and 5 yards to go.
That's an easy 5 yards to pick up.
The sophomore quarterback, Jacob Aaron, has two setbacks there with him as he takes a snap, and he keeps the ball, and he's going to be sacked. He drops the ball, and there's a scramble for it again at the 32-yard line.
I can tell you right now, Jacob Aaron is not having a good game.
No, not yet, boy.
And that's a turnover.
He's had such good games previously.
He had a hard time with the snap of this last series, and now he fumbles the ball when he's getting tackled. So he's rattled a little bit.
Has it surprised you at all they haven't gone to Shemko or Gattal?
A little bit, but, you know, they're still – what the plays are running are working. It's just they got to execute it. That's two fumbles in a row, all on the quarterback.
The ball is spotted at the 33-yard line. Shotgun formation now for Bosarge as he takes his snap. He looks to the right. He fires it out there. It is complete to McHale. He's brought down at the 24-yard line, getting in there, making the tackle, and swinging him around to the ground was Camus Barrett, the safety. One of the safety. You know, it's good to see Angel Castillo available for offense as well as defense, too. He had that shoulder. There the ball is dropped in the backfield by the quarterback, and he's going to be sacked at the 25-yard line.
Both quarterbacks just having a tough time handling the football here.
Yeah.
That snap was right there.
It's kind of like a hot potato out there. Oh, I don't want that. We're inside of 4 minutes to go. It's the first quarter. Vintage is leading 8-0. The Casa Grande Gauchos with the ball at the Vintage 25-yard line. Look at a third and two. They're down in four down territory.
Look for Vintage to bring people here, Ira.
Look for
Colton Fisher
tight formation,
right there.
Full house backfield. Handoff goes on the right side to Gramijo, and he gets maybe a yard on the play. Boy, I tell you that.
I think he's short.
Yeah, that right side of the pressure line with Angel Castillo. We just mentioned him, and there from his outside linebacker position, he comes in and makes a tackle.
You got Castillo, you got Fisher, you got Daniels.
It's fourth down, but it is a four-down territory.
You
got to
watch the ball. Don't jump the hard count.
They need one big yard, and looks like they got it. They handed the ball off to Jordan Gramijo. He's the guy that scored the two-point conversion last week that defeated Justin Siena, Jordan Gramijo. They're signaling it is a first down, not needing a measurement even, down at the 22-yard line. First and 10 for the Gauchos. They trail it 8-0 here with 2:45 to go in the opening quarter of play. And Bo Sarge gets the snap. He fakes the handoff, keeps the ball. He's inside the 20. Flag on the play looks like a hold. Coming in and grabbing the quarterback is Camus Barrett. And Barrett brings down Borsage and at about the 14. But that's not going to be a factor because there was a hold back there prior to that.
Galvin was coming up to make the tackle. And he was a player who was held. Basically, the offensive player grabbed Galvin's face mask there.
Yeah. So that's going to take the ball back outside of the 30 to the Crusher 31-yard line.
I believe Casa Grande's only gotten one first down here.
That's correct, according to Jacob Grant. All right, here we go now as Bo Sarge has the snap, and he hands off, and nothing opened up. They'll lose yardage on the handoff to Matt Herrera there. Boy, did that line and the linebackers come after him.
Zach Daniels, number 58, was there just waiting for him. Defensive line for the Crushers are just playing great ball. 2 minutes left in this first quarter. Vintage with an 8-0 lead, trying to keep Casa Grande out of the end zone.
Irwin is on the field on the defense now for the Crushers. Quarterback back to pass, throwing deep down along the sideline, and it's nearly intercepted. It was up for grabs, and Barrett was there defending. Just couldn't quite pull it in.
Yeah, good job, Camus Barrett, making a great defensive stop there. It was like a jump ball.
Yep, the pass down toward the goal line.
And, Jacob, you're right, boy. Jaden Bersage, he's like a gunslinger. He's a sidearm thrower out there.
Yeah, that was to Carson Kerrigan was the intended receiver. Third down, long yardage to go, about 20 yards. Bosarge would like to get them into field goal position at least from the shotgun formation as he takes a snap. Out in the right flat, the pass is complete, but no yardage picked up there as Dominic McHale got the ball and then started to
They're trying to run a little slip screen there, back tied to this flanker here. Jacob Bittner was all over it. Vintage has scouted this team really well, Ira. Yep. They've got the plays down. They're reacting very quickly.
Yeah, they were over to watch him last week.
Yeah, Vintage defense is just playing superb.
McKitts dropping back. There's a high snap. He brings it down. Gets the punt away, a bad punt, but it gets a good roll, and it will go down inside the 5-yard line. That ball never went more than 10 feet high.
No, just a little line drive, and just boy, he did a great job pinning the ball down there in the 5-yard line, though.
Yeah, that was what came out to be an excellent punt. Didn't look pretty, but it wound up down at the 5-yard line.
Force Vintage to go 95 yards for a score. Last time they came out, ran a little off tackle play, but right now, more importantly, got to have a good exchange between center and quarterback, and quarterback needs to hang on the ball here.
Yeah, the last two times he has coughed it up. Minute 12 to go here in the first quarter. 8-0, Vinny's has the lead. And Aaron hands it off as they go over right tackle and get some good yardage out for about a 10-yard gain as the handoff went to Drew Hatfield.
Yep, Hatfield just run off tackle off that full house look. Vintage came out to play power football, moves the chains 10 yards.
I wonder if Riley Hatfield is his brother. Riley, a sophomore, had two touchdowns in that JV game tonight. Drew is a senior, a 2-year difference. Could be. Going out wide right will be Robert. Out left wide is Birdsall. And the quarterback hands off. There is Shemko carrying the 20, 25, 30. Shemko with 35. He's to the 40. He's to midfield. He gets by one at the 45. Gets by another at the 40. Hit by one, two, three others at the 36-yard line. And Shemko goes down after a great run. Well, we wondered when they were going to hand the ball off to him. And when they did, he made the most of it.
Absolutely. All right. Is he tough or not? He will not go out of bounds. He stops, makes a cut, and just looks for someone to hit. And when he gets tackled, Ira, he's always going forward. That's what I like about Shemko.
Doesn't have the most speed, but he really is a power runner.
And a tough, tough, tough football player.
And they have the ball now in Gaucho territory at the 36-yard line. Double wides to the right side. Handoff goes to Hatfield. Hatfield over right tackle. Boom! He got hit, and he is dropped at the 32-yard line. So the handoff went to Drew Hatfield. Worked on the right side of the line. Back into the offensive huddle comes Mo Castro. His real first name is Mauricio. He's only about 5'5 and just a junior, as that will end the first quarter. So we're here at Memorial Stadium. At the end of one, it is the Vintage Chryslers of Napa 8 and the Casa Grande Gauchos of Petaluma 0. Back after this. Well, as we get set for second quarter action, let's take a look at what happened. Justin JV's won their game as Justin Siena defeated Petaluma JV's 35-7. What was a JV score? Wow. A good JV team over there.
And right. The American Canyon JV's won as well, Ira, 54-37.
Right now, Petaluma is leading Justin 7-0 in the first quarter.
And that's in the varsity game.
Yeah, and Justin is inside Petaluma's 20 with 6 minutes to go.
Okay. Well, we updated you on some. Now back to the action here at Memorial Stadium. It's 8-0 as we start the second quarter of this Vine Valley Athletic League contest. The Vintage Chryslers heading toward that south end zone now. They have the ball at the Gaucho 24-yard line. And the quarterback, Aaron, pitches it back to the right side as they swing in. And it is Weber down to about the 16-yard line. Grabbing him around the ankles was Logan Walsh, the middle linebacker, who is just a junior, but stopped that play.
Good run by Weber, but boy, did you see the lead block by Shomkel out there? Just put that defender down.
That's one of the reasons he doesn't carry the ball more often, because he's such a good blocker.
Yeah. And I remember this drive started at Vintage's own 5-yard line here.
That's right.
They're down to the 16 of Casa Grande.
Second down, 2 yards to go for a first down. Shomkel is the tailback right behind the quarterback. Shomkel will carry over the left side, picks up a first down, shakes off a tackler, hit by another and another and another, and he'll go down just outside the 10-yard line, maybe around the 13-yard line.
Yeah, good play calling. Vintage just coming out playing power football, where they're just running right in between the tackles. A few toss sweeps here and there, but they're just basically running up off tackle all night long.
Quentin Lopez, the final tackler in on there, came up from his safety position to finally bring Shemko down on the play. They could conceivably pick up a first down without getting in the end zone. It's first and 10 at the 11-yard line. They have two setbacks and a wideout either side, and Aaron takes the snap and hands off to Weber. Weber down to about the 6-yard line, getting tackled in there by Miles Olivier or Oliver. Depends on how much French you want to put in
there. There you go. Weber running hard from that tailback spot there off the option there. I tell you, Weber's having a great game tonight. Last couple weeks, you remember, Ira, I was on that kid.
Well, and he looks so good.
He's impressing me tonight. He really is.
Yeah. So we're inside of 10 minutes to go here in the second quarter, 8-0. Vinny's trying to add to that lead as they send a wide out to the left side. And they hand off to Shemko inside the 5, the 4, the 3, the 2, the 1. Into the end zone. Touchdown, Shemko.
Right off the left tackle, Ira. Just Shemko running hard, making one cut, and he was into that end zone quickly.
Boy, I tell you, it's so hard to bring down on short yardage.
Yeah, absolutely. Vintage running its own fast-paced tempo here, beating Casa Grande at their own game, Ira.
Well, this time the Chryslers will attempt the extra point by kicking. Earlier they went the water pick and were able to pick up a two-point conversion. Now we have Eddie Gonzalez coming out there to attempt the extra point. Troy Gisletta will be the holder. They're at the south end zone there, and of course the ball will be spotted there at the 10-yard line for the attempt now by Eddie Gonzalez. The snap. No, they're going to go for two, firing it in the end zone, and it is complete for a two-point conversion. Joshua Robert there as Gisletta just turned around and fired it into the end zone for a two-point conversion.
And boy,
I haven't seen that
before
this
year. He had two players wide open. He had the kicker open well. Gisletta coming from the end spot. Well, that was why. How about that throw, huh? Or the throw by Gisletta, excuse me.
Well, you know, he's the backup quarterback, so,
still,
you know, he can throw that ball. So, with 9:40 to go, the Vinnie's Crushers get their second touchdown and their second two-point conversion to lead it 16-0. Let's go over to our statistician, Jacob Grant.
Well, so far what I've observed in the game is there's a little bit of trouble handling the ball at the snap. For Vintage, they have three fumbles, two were lost. All three can be blamed on the quarterback. And then, other than that, penalties are pretty even. They both have three penalties each for 20 yards total.
Along with Kent Fry, this is Ira C. Smith here at Memorial Stadium in Napa, California, as Eddie Gonzalez has teed up the football there at the 40-yard line. And here's his approach. And the ball is going back deep. And it is taken at the 10-yard line on the run up the right side and across the 30 before he is spilled. I don't know if that was McHale who... they sent both McHale and Herrera back deep, and they kind of stand around beside each other. And then just before the ball is kicked, they spread formations. Sometimes one will run up and one will drop back. Sometimes we'll go from one side to another.
Casa Grande had a return right set up. Vintage did a pretty good job just breaking up the wall and making the tackle.
So the ball is at the 32-yard line, first and 10. Bo Sarge has the snap and faked a handoff, keeps the ball, broke one tackle, breaks another, goes down the sideline, picks up a first down, and then steps out of bounds before getting tackled over there by the Crushers quarterback, Jacob Aaron, who's out there on defense now.
Yeah, Aaron, that's the first time we saw the Vintage defense kind of let down there. They had two missed tackle opportunities there.
Bossard, again, set. Looks to the left, and his pass is complete. It's going to be close to a first down. Samko made the tackle, but Jordan Gramajo held onto the football and stretched it out to make it a first down in Vintage territory.
Yeah, Bossard just found the open receiver, the slot man, right there in the little quick curl zone.
At the 46-yard line, putting the ball in play. He fires it, and it was nearly intercepted. The pass intended for McHale and nearly intercepted by Michael Weber.
He stepped around. He read that play beautifully, stepped around the receiver, and Joe almost was able to pick it off.
Very close. Stops the clock with 9:10 to go here in the second quarter. 16-0 is the score. The Vintage Crushers of Napa have the lead. Bossard's the quarterback. Wide outs each way. Gets the rush. Sets a little screen. And it is complete to Herrera. Tries to run the right side. A late flag comes in as Herrera goes down.
They're going to call that on Weber for coming in leading with the head. Roberts had the tackle made, and there was really no reason for Weber to come in and finish it off, but just the momentum of his playing did, and he kind of came in, led with his head, and that's what they're going to call on this.
Okay, well, we'll get the signal from Roy Hammond, our referee this evening. And the penalty goes against.
I'm wrong. Yeah,
it goes against the Gauchos.
I thought for sure they're calling that on Weber. But why would they? Weber's having a great game, so why would they?
Yeah, so far. So that puts the ball back into Gaucho territory. It goes back inside the 49-yard line. Just over 9 minutes to go. We're in the second quarter. 16-0 is the score. Vintage won the JV contest 29-0 as Riley Hatfield and Reed McCaffrey each had two touchdowns. Here it's Bo Sarge going to the right side and being pulled down for a short gain. They have to get all the way down to the 36-yard line in Vintage territory, and they just got the ball into the 49-yard line in Vintage territory where it's third down.
Defensive line of Vintage Crushers, Ira, just doing a superb job at stopping the run.
Alfaro quickly off the field being replaced there for the Crushers. There's a flag on the play. I think we had a false start. The wide receiver on the left side just jumped the snap a little bit, so that will be a 5-yard penalty.
Ira, here's an update from Sonoma while we have a little break here. American Canyon is up 7-0 with 7 minutes to go in the first quarter. American Canyon 7, Sonoma nothing.
Sonoma with that big win over Napa last week in a game that we broadcast. Well, here we have third down and back in their own territory now at the 46-yard line. And Bo Sarge drops back to Pat, getting the right, running out of the pocket. He is sprinting to the sideline and goes out of bounds there before being hit. Had good pursuit over there by Joshua Robert, a 5'9 senior.
He's going to force Casa Grande to punt again. Vintage defense, Ira, just they're all over the field tonight. They are just, they've come to play football tonight.
As you say, they have this team well scouted. But
they
a lot of that happened last week.
Yep.
There is another flag, and that's going to be an offside, or it could be against the Crushers. Too many men on the field.
Exactly. And, you know, you got to know your assignments. This is the tough part about special teams. You know, you go over that, you do what's called a walkthrough before the game over in the gymnasium. They'll call out punt team. Everybody walks out who's on the punt team, punt return. So everybody knows who's on, who's off, who's on, who's off.
I think it'll be a substitution penalty against the Crushers. Roy Hammond's going over to the far sideline to mention to Dennis Brunk, the second-year coach for the Gauchos, about the situation. Although they had a guy line up far left that looked like he may have jumped the snap as well.
I think Coach of Sonoma wanted to see where the ball went out of bounds.
Yeah, illegal substitution.
You can decline it. Yeah,
it's declined.
That was a great punt.
Yeah.
I mean, end over end, high arcing, bounced right on the line before it went out of bounds.
Yeah, it was so good that the Gauchos are not taking the penalty.
Right, but it's pin and Vintage back at the 20. But again, Ira, they were pinned back at the 5.
Then they came down 95 yards.
Yep. Score.
So, all right, the Crusher offense comes onto the field now. 8 minutes exactly to go here in the first half. 16-0. The Crushers with two touchdowns and 2 2-point conversions here in the first half. Jacob Aaron, 5'11", 180-pound sophomore, getting the instructions from the sideline back into the huddle. They break from the huddle, sending out wide right side Robert, tight end on the left side, single setback. Aaron hands off to that setback hat, or no, it's to Weber again.
Yeah.
Weber spins as he is hit and gets maybe 3 yards on the carry.
Casa Grande starting to button up their defense a little bit. They know Vintage is not passing. They're just coming out running the ball.
Yeah.
Right off the tackle. They're just going off tackle just about every play.
So that is second down, 7 yards to go. 7.5 minutes remaining here in the first half. Crushers will have Weber going out to the left side. Cutter Lowe goes out wide of him, trips out to the right. They look to the left. The pass is complete to Weber, the 30. Weber out to the 35, has a first down, and then he goes down, hit by Aaron Kropinski.
Yeah, Ira, empty backfield. Weber was the inside slot on the left with a receiver and trips on the right. And Jacob Aaron threw a nice little slant post pattern to Weber, made a nice catch, over-the-hat catch, kept in stride. Nice run after the catch.
Kyle Candini has come into the game, replacing Angel Castillo. So Castillo has been in there at a tight end position on offense.
Let's see if they go back to Shomkel here now, Ira.
Shomkel is in the backfield to the right of the quarterback. And he takes the handoff, breaks through there. He's the 45, the 40. He's to then to the 45-yard line, we should say. He was back in his own territory and gets the ball into the Gaucho territory at the 49-yard line. Boy, he went through there in a hurry.
And Ira, when he first had contact with the defender, he was still able to get another 10 yards on top of that.
Down to the 49-yard line of the Gauchos. Samco making the most of his carries out there tonight. 6.5 minutes to go here in the second quarter. 16-0 Vintage. Trips out to the right side. The quarterback is in trouble, but he avoids one tackler. He's going to run with the ball now. He's at midfield. He is avoiding another tackle. Hit by another. Flag comes in. He goes down. As Aaron went down at about the 43-yard, I don't know how he averted being sacked back in his own territory.
I'm not quite sure why they wanted to throw the ball, to be honest with you.
They were doing a nice job on the ground.
Going against the wind, you want to keep the ball on the ground here, eat up the clock.
Well, Shomko's been carrying really well, but as you alluded to earlier, Michael Weber having a good game, and that's going to be a penalty, a major one, against the Crushers, taking the ball way back in their territory. So that's back to the 38-yard line. So the Crushers make quite a few changes now on the offense.
Bringing on another package. Coach Leach likes to run different packages, which is just different formations, different personnel.
Well, they have to go to the 39-yard line for a first down in Gaucho territory, and they have the ball at their own. The scoreboard just went out. I don't know what's happened. The officials see that, and they now it went back on. But the official right away blew the whistle when that scoreboard went out. Now it's back on. But very alert officiating down there.
Yep.
But we knew it would be good officiating with Roy Hammond in charge. First down and long yardage to go, 23 yards or so. Aaron hands off, and it's Hatfield. Hatfield breaks the tackle, 40, 30, count them down. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, he goes in. Touchdown, Hatfield, Drew Hatfield.
Outside option, Ira. What? Just ran the, what's called, that would be 34 option. Fake to the fullback, wrote it, and just gave it to Hatfield, and off he went.
Well, that's the third touchdown here in the first half for the Vintage Crushers. That comes with 5:23 to go in the second quarter, and puts Vintage up 22-0. Well, they line up as if they're going to kick the extra point. They did that last time, and Troy Gisletta fired the ball in for a two-point conversion. Now they're getting set. There's the snap, there's the placement, and the kick is on the way by Gonzalez, and it is good. So there's timeout now with 5:23 to go in the first half. The score, the Vintage Crushers of Napa, 23, and Casa Grande Gauchos of Petaluma, 0. Well, we're back here at Memorial Stadium, and again, teeing up the football, Eddie Gonzalez there at the 40-yard line.
95-yard drive, 80-yard drive, doesn't faze them, Ira. Vintage offense rolling.
There's the kick, a almost squib-type kick, goes back to the 10-yard line, brought back out now across the 20 to the 25-yard line as Herrera is downed at near the 30-yard line. Jacob, do we have an update on the score?
I'm looking for that right now.
Okay. Here it's 23-0. Vintage has the lead after three touchdowns, 2 two-point conversions, and 1 extra point. And we have the Gauchos getting the ball now at their own 29-yard line where they have it first and 10. So it's Bosarge taking the snap, looking, and he's going to be sacked. Whoa, two of the Crusher defenders got in on him right away, one of whom, Angel Castillo from that outside linebacker, was able to get around there to bring him down.
Yeah, and Colton Fisher, the other, Ira. They're tough. They're just tough to bring down. Vintage plays that three. Well, there used to be a 3-5. Really, they're playing a 3-4 tonight. Two safeties, two corners.
So a loss of some. There's a quick pitch, and it is caught. Then a flying comes in as Jordan Gramajo.
This is leading with the head here. This could be on Barrett. Not too sure.
Petaluma is beating Justin Siena 14-7.
Okay, they're ahead then. Yeah.
In the second quarter.
So they're a long way to go in that game. Justin was behind 14-0 last week over Casa Grande and nearly won the game, losing it in the final 16 seconds. After the penalty against the Crushers, that moves the ball to midfield.
That's a big penalty right there.
So from the 50-yard line, it is first down for Jaden Bosarge, who has the ball and fires it into the right flat, and it is caught and an immediate tackle is made. On the receiving end, Nate Bussey, and tackled right away as soon as he caught the ball, so it makes it a short gain on the play. Maybe no gain even.
Yeah, Galvin was all over him. That was a great throw by Bosarge. I mean, he put it the receiver could only catch it because Galvin was draped all over him.
Yeah, well defended. Second down and 10 to go. As the quarterback rolls out to his right, getting rushed, fires a long one down the right sideline, and it is incomplete. The pass intended for McHale, but the defender had a better opportunity. I'm not sure whether that would have been Aaron or Lowe back there that could have gotten it.
Jacob Aaron back there on that safety spot.
Yeah, and Lowe was not too far away either.
Just trying to quarterback this kind of design sprint out. They ran a little stop and go. Ball was thrown way inside.
Third down, 10 yards to go. Bosarge fires on the angle and completes a pass for a first down as Bussey has it inside the 40 down to the 35-yard line. Well executed on a slant in. Bussey holding on to the ball and advancing it for that first down, getting
classic. Casa Grande's success in the air, Ira, has been the little curl zones from the slot receivers.
Bosarge now from the vintage 35 looks over again to the sideline to Dennis Brunk. Now Bosarge shouts out the play, and he is taking the snap and handing off in the backfield to Herrera. Herrera tries to turn the corner, but he can't as Shamkol is there and pulls him down.
Kind of see Herrera just kind of shake his head after he gets tackled by Shamkol.
3.5 minutes to go here in the first half. 23-0. Vintage has the lead.
Quick update from Sonoma. Ira, American Canyon up 13-0 at the end of one. 13-0 American Canyon over Sonoma.
Bosarge on a long count trying to draw the Crushers offside. They did not move, and so he changing the play now. Crushers not showing blitz, so the quarterback keeps the ball. He gets to the 30-yard line, and that's about it. Didn't have a chance to advance it much farther than that. Went over in the direction of Zach Daniels. That's the wrong way to go.
Well, yeah, and you had Castillo chasing him down from behind and doing a great job just chasing him down from behind.
So it is going to be third down. They need about 5 yards for a first down. There's the pass. It is dropped. It would have been a first down to Nate Bussey.
Again, right in the curl zone. That's where you look for Coach Leach to make those halftime adjustments on that, Ira. Vintage has given up the quick curl route for the inside slot receivers.
That one was almost trouble because it was right in his hands.
Right, hit him in the wrong spot, Jake.
Yeah.
Right in the numbers.
Well, we're going to have a double feature at halftime. We've got Gunnar DeYoung is going to tell us about the school activities. And Becknell to pass the quarterback. His pass is dropped. This time it was Matt Herrera. There is a flag out, however, leading with the helmet on the tackle on the play. So Gunnar DeYoung will be joining us at halftime. And, Gunnar, how did the homecoming festivities go during the week?
Well, they were excellent. Really look forward to telling you more about it here in a minute, but absolutely phenomenal week and huge success.
Well, we'll be finding out about the candidates for the King and Queen and all that happened at Vintage High School. Gunnar was with us last year, I think.
Yeah, that's correct. And I'm pleasure to be back with you and really enjoy the opportunity every year to get to share more and more with you about what Vintage is like and the opportunity to really reach out to our community like this. So,
well, it'll be nice to follow the proceedings as far as homecoming. We'll also hear from athletic director there, Cam Neal. Quarterback fires out in the right flat. It is complete over there to Bussey. Bussey, it dropped the ball, I think, as there at the 20 of the 15.
Ira, that was stripped by you know who, number 19, Michael Weber, who wow. might have even made the recovery. I'm telling you, Weber is having the game of his life tonight.
Playing first like half is number all Weber. 52 of the Chicago of the Bears,
yes. formerly of my Oakland Raiders.
Go Sharks, Jake.
Go Islanders. You snuck me in on that last one when you, Ira was about to talk. I couldn't come back at you.
So we're outside of the 15-yard line. 2.5 minutes to go here in the first half. 23-0. Vintage has the lead. And it's a first down. Aaron rolls out to his right, sets a little pass out into the right flat, and it is to Michael Weber. But he didn't get very much, if any, yardage on that play as he was being pursued by Quentin Lopez.
Well, Luis Arroyo blocked Lopez right into Weber there, unfortunately.
Second down, about 11 yards to go for a first down. Back deep in their own territory at the 15-yard line. They have to get out to the 26-yard line to get a first down. And the Crushers send Birdsall out wide left side, tight end on the right side, two setbacks, and the quarterback hands off to Hatfield. Hatfield over right tackle, gets stopped shy of the 20-yard line. One of the big defenders for the Gauchos was limping back at Johnny Fragostitz.
Vinny's going to call a timeout here. I have a minute 30 to go in the second quarter.
Well, as they take a timeout, let's kind of set the scene for halftime. And Gunnar DeYoung, what's going to take place?
Well, what you guys are going to see out here today is you're going to have an excellent show from our band, and we're also going to reveal a good majority of information about our homecoming candidates. We'll get to figure out who will be voted on at the homecoming dance for King and Queen, and it should be a great time. I really look forward to sharing that with you guys as it unfolds, as well as sharing more with you about the candidates.
How many candidates were there?
Well, there was 10 boys and 10 girls, and they were representative of all the clubs and really just great candidates all around.
How was the King and Queen selected?
Well, the King and the Queen will be selected at the homecoming dance tomorrow night, and but this evening we'll determine the, I believe, top two for each position, and we voted on that this morning at the homecoming rally.
So that'll be taking place after the band performs?
That's correct.
Okay, well, maybe we can get Cam Neal in there prior to the homecoming festivity. In the meantime, here is Aaron pitching it out in the backfield to Hatfield. To Weber. Weber is looking downfield. He was looking for someone to get open, and nobody got open, Weber gets sacked.
Actually, Galvin was open. Roberts was open. It's Weber had no time. Yeah, they snuck him out. He was open. They were doing a little halfback option pass.
Well, the Crushers are going to have to punt now on fourth down. The ball is back at their own 10-yard line. A minute 17 to go here in the second quarter. Each team with two timeouts remaining.
Sonoma wants the ball back. They want to get in the halftime with some points on the board. Ira, this is where you cannot let your mental break down here. You got to have good punt coverage, good snap, good punt. Punting against the wind, so that if they can get it to midfield, that would be a big success. Go down, make the tackle, no mistakes, no mental mistakes here.
Casa Grande will send McHale back almost to midfield, so they are going to be in excellent field position. But the Crusher defense has been superb here in the first half. Dropping back into his own end zone for the Crushers is Eddie Gonzalez. And see what can happen here as far as getting a return. There's the snap. Then the punt coming down. It bounds at the 35-yard line. Gets about a foot, maybe a yard now. That keeps rolling, just barely rolling there, but it'll be at about the 36-yard line where it'll be in Vintage territory for the Gauchos to take over.
So Vintage defense needs to step up big here because there's plenty of time to put points on the board. You don't want to give Casa Grande any momentum going into halftime here. So defense needs to step up big time here.
And with, and with the quality of kicker it sounds like they have, you know, Casa Grande could be looking for only a 10-15-yard gain just to get one through the uprights.
Get through the field goal, that's it.
Right, they have the wind behind them going this direction as well. There's the pass out complete in the right flat to Herrera. Herrera's brought down for no gain on the play. Weber was one of those over there after him.
Solo tackle by Michael Weber.
Yeah.
He must have heard me broadcast about him last 2 weeks ago, because I was on him big time, and he's
He was helped by Shomkel, too.
I'm on him this time, but it's in a great way.
All right, they're set now for Bosarge as he has trip sets to the left. He looks left. Now he looks right. Now he's running right. Now he's firing right, and it's complete for a first down. And I don't know if they got out of bounds or not. He was looking to get out of bounds as Matt Herrera, who made the reception, was hit right away by a defender, but the defender did not bring him down.
And kept him in bounds, though, so that forced Sonoma to burn a timeout here.
They have one timeout remaining. Only 30 seconds to go here in the first quarter. So, well, we've got quite a program coming up at halftime. Hope to hear from athletic director. And also we'll be hearing from Gunnar Young, a student at Vintage High, about homecoming proceedings. Tonight is homecoming. And right now the Chryslers are trying to keep their shutout alive here in the second quarter with 30 seconds to go. And the Gauchos are probably pretty close to field goal area right now at the 23. It would make it a about a 40-yard field goal, though.
Quick update from Sonoma. Ira, American Canyon now has gone up 20-0 with 5 minutes in the second quarter. American Canyon up 20-0 over Sonoma.
We're set now for Bosarge as he takes a snap, looks left, fires left, a long one toward the end zone, and it is intercepted for a touchback in the end zone by
Barrett.
Yeah, Camus Barrett's having a good first half there at the safety spot.
Barrett sitting right down in front of us. We always know who those are. You know?
Yeah. And high-fiving everybody around him there. We know where the Barretts are seated tonight.
And that's a big turnover right there for Casa Grande, because Vintage has preserved the shutout so far in this half.
And leading at 23-0, so the ball brought out to the 20-yard. The Crushers may just run out the clock here and just down the ball here for one play.
Yep, they need to, or just, you know, run a nice off tackle to Shomkel here.
Yeah, well, the quarterback is coming up under center now instead of in the shotgun formation, Jacob Aaron. And the officials are conferring now before they put the ball in play. Roy Hammond is looking over to the Vintage sideline, and he's pointing back at the line of scrimmage. Apparently just pointing something out now as they're ready to go. So Roy Hammond says, let's play ball here for the final 23 and a half seconds. And they run a play to the right side as Shomkel carries to the 25-yard line.
And it's just a quick trap.
No,
Shomkel.
Shomkel
was one step away from breaking that.
Yeah.
It was a good tackle out there by Casa Grande defender.
Well, you know, he gets off the ball so quick.
Yeah, he really does.
But if he gets through that initial line, he's got a chance to go. But his strength is what powers him through that initial line, the defensive line and the linebacker, causing the safeties to come up and go after him. So a pickup of 5 yards on that play. It'll be a second down and five to go. We'll get caught up on some of those other scores, too, at halftime.
Petaluma was leading Justin Siena 21-7 when I just checked.
Oh, so. 21-7 now. Wow. Yeah. Well, the Braves are used to coming from behind. Petaluma with a 3-2 record going into that game. Justin Siena with a 3-2 record. So they had identical overall records. And they were both, I think, 0-1 in league play.
Because Justin Siena lost last week to Casa Grande.
There's the pitch. They're going to have a halfback pass thrown way downfield, and the intended receiver got a tripped up Joshua Robert.
Yep, that's the play they were trying to run when they got the sack previously. Good throw by Weber. At least he overthrew it, not underthrew it.
Yeah, Robert was trying to get down there. Boy, what a season his brother had last year.
Yeah, actually, James Robert, what a tough runner he was, huh?
Yep, just outstanding all the way around. Frequently our player of the game in broadcast last season.
There's your gambler of Coach Leach, though, right there on that play. I read Coach Leach trying to go for
on the halfback pass.
Sure,
yeah.
Trying to get a few more points for a half.
Third down, 5 yards to go now. They go over the side and breaking through at the 40 to the 50-yard line. Down the sideline goes Mo, 10-5. Touchdown by
Mo Castro
again.
Yep.
You know, he had one called back earlier, and Mo Castro runs that down for a touchdown with no time remaining.
Out of the full house backfield, just ran off the tackle again. Lead blocker. Castro takes a tackle or makes it the handoff, breaks one tackle, and then he was off to the races.
Yeah, that's similar to his earlier play that was called back.
Exact same play, Ari. A good call.
All right, here's the extra point attempt now by the Crushers, leading it 29-0. Eddie Gonzalez kicks the ball on the way up, splitting it upright, and it is a 30-0 lead now for the Vintage Crushers as our halftime have arrived. So we invite you to stay tuned. We'll be back with halftime activities in a little bit here at Memorial Stadium in Napa, California. Our halftime score is the Vintage Crushers of Napa 30 and the Casa Grande Gauchos of Petaluma 0. You're listening to KVON 1440 Napa, California, the voice of the North Bay wine country, and streaming on the internet at kvon.com. Along with Kent Fry, this is Ira C. Smith. We're at Memorial Stadium, where right now Jacob Grant is finalizing those first half stats. Angelo Lyons is our engineer, and our special halftime guest is going to be Gunnar DeYoung here in a moment. But first of all, let's go over to Jacob and check on some of those first half stats.
So far for Vintage leading rusher is Shomkel with 91 yards on 5 carries for 1 touchdown. Then you have Drew Hatfield. He's second with 79 yards and 1 touchdown. Third in rushing is Mo Castro. He's got 75 yards and 1 touchdown on 1 carry plus the one that was negated for about 50 yards.
Yeah.
And then the fourth rusher is Michael Weber. He's got 21 yards on 4 carries.
Okay.
And then for passing for the Vintage passers, since they had that little halfback pass, they're 2 for 3 for 12 yards. And the completed pass was from Jacob Aaron to Michael Weber.
Well, as the Vintage band comes onto the field, the xylophones are playing down in front of us, and we're going to let Gunnar DeYoung tell us about this week and how it all shaped up for Homecoming 2018.
Well, thank you so much, Ira. Thanks again for having me on. It's really always a great opportunity to be here with you, to get to hear you guys work. Is really a great pleasure, and you've been at it a long time, and appreciate that. And thank you for your service. Moving on to our homecoming this week, really it was a great opportunity for us to be involved with the community as much as we possibly could, obviously here at the football game, and as well as the homecoming parade. The week started out very optimistic. We voted for our candidates from all the clubs, which included candidates from clubs like Avid, Ceramics Club, sports teams like girls soccer, softball, track and field. We have some really interesting teams like Peer Support and Empowered Teens, which work with students who are struggling academically or students who have physical or mental handicaps. So really great opportunity for students to showcase everything that there is at Vintage High School, and a great opportunity for the community to see what we do here at Vintage. And watching our band, it's really always a great pleasure to see so much of the talent and the abilities that all our students have. But after we voted for our initial top 10 candidates for each gender, we moved on to the midweek festivities, and we had on Thursday our homecoming rally, which, as I mentioned before, was on campus this year, which was a little different for us. Typically, we like to involve the community a little bit more, but given the fires last year and how successful our parade was on campus last year, we really enjoyed getting to see all the candidates more than if they would have been around down on Jefferson and through the streets. And so we went with that again this year, and I did most of significant planning on that and leadership, of course. And with the involvement of all my peers and their input, it was really a successful event for us. We got to see all the candidates that we wanted to see, showcase all the clubs, and really, all the students had a great time, and it was a huge success. So for making that change, it was a great opportunity for us to see what we can really do and expand our horizons. In addition to that, we hope to involve more of the community next year and invite you onto campus to see what there is to see at Vintage High School. Following that, obviously today's festivities for me started at about 5:40 this morning, waking up for the homecoming rally and getting prepared for that. That was a lot of fun. I was in charge of projection this morning, and so which meant that I was in the back and I got to push the space bar so everybody else could see what was happening up there and follow along with the itinerary of our rally. But again, we got to see the band this morning. We got to see multiple games from our homecoming candidates, which they participated in. And that was a lot of fun. And then from there, today I was able to come out to the Memorial Stadium to decorate and put up all the very interesting decorations that we have. Our theme this year was board games. So it was always an interesting challenge to kind of see what there was to see. But as I kind of look down, there are candidates now walking onto the field. And so we have David Barrio, Oscar Loyola, Cole Geschwinder, Jacob Bittner, Ryan Olson, Viliami Shomkul, Alex Fuller, Manny Guzman, Carson Becker, and Abron Cortez for the boys. And for the girls, we have Ollie Alvarado, Allie Warren, Alyssa Andrews, Bianca Cortez, Bailey Stone, Yvette Valle-Greo, Simone Sullivan, Bianca Maria Villa, Kalina Izitsky, Callie Valencia, and that about covers it. But all these individuals are very much so quality individuals who their peers have recognized for being, you know, top of the top and very much so worthy of being on our homecoming court. And so as Ms. Housley, our activities director, ushers them onto the field, giving them their introduction, the band is surrounding them, and it's really quite a sight. I'm sure a spectacle for the community to see as well. We always appreciate it when you guys come out to our games and see what there is to see. Supporting your local high school is just a great opportunity for the athletes. I play baseball, and so I can speak from experience in that degree that it's always a great opportunity to have people out there watching us. But as they finish processing out onto the field, they will be announcing the winners of the vote that we had this morning to announce the top two candidates that will be voted on at the homecoming rally. So with that, Ira, do you have any other questions?
Well, let's talk a little bit about the decorations here. As the candidates are entering the field of play, you might say, the football field, there is an arch that is set up made of balloons.
Yeah, that's correct. I actually, there's a fun story regarding that. I was responsible for bringing the air compressor that I own to blow up all those balloons. There's probably about 300 balloons on this balloon arch, and it's a lot of work every year, but always well worth it because they usher it on onto the field for our candidates to use, and it just makes it that much more special for everybody involved. You know, it looks good for our community. It makes the candidates feel special, and it's just really a great presentation overall. In addition to that, we created a rainbow balloon arch, which is sitting next to the gates over there, next to the scoreboard. And so that is always an undertaking as well. And there's actually one on top of the booth where we're broadcasting from. So we did a lot of blowing up of balloons today, nonetheless. Also, we really try to incorporate our theme of board games as much as we could into our decorating today. So we have over by these concession stands, we have board game pieces from Monopoly, so Park Place, Boardwalk, etc. And really, we just try to get as much of our board game theme out there as possible.
Wanted to point something out that I think is very interesting. All of the football players have come out and are observing the homecoming proceedings.
And Coach Dylan Leach has let Bittner and Shumko come out and be a part of these festivities, Ira.
When Shumko came through there, did you notice the big smile on his face?
Absolutely. The first time we've seen him smile.
He had the biggest smile, I think, of anyone.
Yep.
Now, perhaps, Gunnar, you can tell us about the two individuals standing up near the 50-yard line.
Yes, of course. Those are last year's King and Queen, and they are going to be presenting the royalty over to the new candidates this year. And so we shall see who that is shortly. But nonetheless, exciting to see our alumni come back and participate in our festivities.
We have two groups of pairs out there, the ones in the kind of the light colors and then the ones in the dark colors. Does that signify anything?
You know what? It might. As far as I'm aware, though, it's just the attire they happen to wear. But they're making an announcement now, it sounds, as to some of the finalists. The second runner-up, it sounds like. And they're awfully delaying the decision here. And I missed who that was. Oh, excuse me. Bron Cortez was the second runner-up. And the announcement process, they sure like to add in the suspense. Now they're announcing the first runner-up. And Lindy Clem, our homecoming princess, is again wandering around the 50-yard line. And they just announced it's Oscar Loyola, and really quality individual. And Lindy getting lost there, trying to find where Oscar was standing, walked the opposite direction for a moment. But always entertaining. But Oscar, the representative from boys soccer, and Abron was from band. And they're announcing the king now, so I guess my apologies earlier about the voting tomorrow night. But the homecoming king is Viliami Shamko from football. So I guess on top of the night he's having, he's getting the added bonus of being homecoming king. So congratulations, Viliami. I'd suspect now that they'll be moving on to the queen candidates here momentarily. To remind you again, those candidates are Ali Alvarado, Ali Warren, Alyssa Andrews, Bianca Cortez, Bailey Stone, Yvette Valle Guerrero, Simon Sullivan, Bianca Maria Villa, Kalina Uzitsky, and Kelly Valencia.
Well, we might mention that the king, Shamko, is getting a robe. He got a special helmet. He put that football helmet down on the side of him down there. I hope he can put it back on for the second half, however, not wear that crown that they put on him out there on the football field. That could be a little awkward.
But I'm taking that equipment penalty and wearing that crown back out on the field for the kickoff and taking that penalty for that one. That'd be fun.
And they just announced now that the second runner-up for the queen candidate is Kalina Uzitsky from Power Pals. Miss Housley giving a little jig down there on the field. Always entertaining to see her personality come out. She's very passionate about her work, especially in class. Very proud of us how we did today, she expressed. But obviously exciting times. And Allie Warren now is the first runner-up for this evening. Allie Warren representing the senior class. And we'll see now who is the queen.
So we know the king, and now we're going to find out about the queen. So we'll know those things tonight. Don't have to wait until the dance.
Yeah, I was mistaken before. I apologize for that. But And the homecoming queen they just have announced is Callie Valencia, and Callie is representing Cheer and Dance, partnered with Abron Cortez. So once again, the king was Viliami Shamkul, and Callie Valencia, the queen candidate. So there you have it, and those are our homecoming king and queen.
Okay, well, the band's people are surrounding the candidates there, and the twirlers they have there are making a little passageway each 45-yard line represented. And now the candidates are all moving toward the 50-yard line, all getting in close, perhaps for a photograph.
It appears so, yeah. It looks like a picture, and Ms. Housley was very adamant that we document everything that happens this year. As in the past, we haven't been as good at that. But, no, definitely it's going to be a cute picture for the yearbook and for the memory of all of our candidates.
Well, Gunnar DeYoung, tell us a bit about yourself. What, senior this year?
I am a senior this year, yeah. And on last year, I think I talked a little bit about colleges and what I was shooting for. And this year, obviously, moved along with that process a little further. I'm working now to apply to Boston University and George Washington University. You're probably my top two. And I'd like to study business with a focus in either entrepreneurship or management. So I'm really eager to get started on that. And high school has been great for me. Vintage has presented me with so many opportunities to, you know, tell about who I am, why Vintage has been so great for me, and to express my academics in a way that I couldn't have gotten anywhere else. So,
Gunnar, you know that those two schools way back east are cold weather schools.
You know, I heard that. Yeah, yeah. My mom definitely thinks that I should stay closer to home. She favors the schools on my list that are in California. And you know what? I completely understand, Mom, if you're listening. But I'd like to see if I can get into these other schools first.
And those Boston University Terriers, you're going to go watch that hockey program. It's a pretty good one.
Yeah, well, you know, I mentioned I play baseball, and it's a bummer because they don't have a baseball team, but I guess I'm going to learn to like hockey. So
they got a very good program, those Terriers over there. I'm a Boston College Eagles fan myself.
Ah.
We don't have many teams over on this side of the country in the college hockey department. So
no.
Hey, you got to root for the ones you can get.
Hey, and you know what? There's always there's something about learning a new sport that is good for your character. And so I could get used to watching some hockey games. I need to buy a pretty thick winter jacket. Mm. But, you know, our California weather is a little more mild. But
have you visited either of those two schools?
You know, I've been to Washington, D.C., although haven't visited George Washington University. And I have visited Boston University, and it was an excellent opportunity to be there. I was able to sit down with the dean of the business school, who cleared a half an hour out of his schedule specifically to talk to me. And so it was a great opportunity. I really felt welcomed. And with reputation of BU, I really look forward to being accepted and attending.
What type of point average do you carry?
Well, my best GPA was 4.5. I think it was the second semester of my sophomore year. Right now, though, I'm sitting around a 4.2.
4 point is perfect. And these kids now, they go beyond the perfection area.
Yeah, no, I'm enrolled in two different AP classes this year, AP Literature, in addition to AP Gov and Honors Economics. Both classes are very interesting, and economics and Gov especially, because my other interest besides business is politics. And so I that's part of the reason why I wanted to attend George Washington, is because they have a major there called Business Economics and Public Policy, where I could get to involve both of my passions together. So it's really something I hope to get into in the future.
Let's give a shout out to your parents.
Yeah, well, my mom is at home, I'm sure, listening. Lisa, thank you so much. I love you. And my little brother, too. My grandparents, I'm sure. And my dad, who is actually a pilot up in Washington right now, if you're listening, hi, Dad, and hello in Washington. Hope you're doing good up there.
Well, Gunnar, our best wishes to you, and thank you the last 2 years joining us at halftime for homecoming. Keep us posted when you're in college. Let us know how you're doing, wherever it is, whether it's BU or Washington or whatever.
Well, thank you so much, Ira. I appreciate the opportunity to be up here, and it's always a lot of fun.
Gunnar DeYoung, joining us at halftime. We'll be back to get second half underway here at Memorial Stadium, where the score is the Vintage Crushers of Napa 30 and the Casa Grande Gauchos of Petaluma 0. Back. You're listening to KVON 1440, Napa, California, the voice of the North Bay wine country, and streaming on the internet at kvon.com. Along with Kent Fry and Jacob Grant, this is Ira C. Smith on behalf of our Napa Valley Sports Boosters, welcoming you back in now for the second half of our football action here in the Vine Valley Athletic League. And Kent, while this is the opening game for the Crushers in league play, this is Casa Grande's second, and we have some scores from some other league games.
Absolutely, Ira. Over in Sonoma right now, we have American Canyon taking it to the Sonoma Valley Dragons there, 34-0 at halftime. So American Canyon pitching a shutout. And again, you know, they beat Petaluma last week down there at their home field in American Canyon.
And Sonoma defeated Napa High.
And Sonoma defeated Napa. So, you know, a couple big games for American Canyon coming up. Obviously, they're making a statement in the league as well, as they're going to be going 2-0 after this. Vintage will be 1-0. But, you know, American Canyon will be hosting Napa High next week, and then Vintage High the following week. And we'll be covering those games on KVON. But so I think those are the two. We kind of thought that going into this league that we'd probably looking at maybe Vintage and American Canyon. We're not too sure about Casa Grande and Petaluma because we just haven't seen them. But right now, that's the way it's looking. Both teams making big statements tonight.
And then Justin Siena is behind Petaluma, 21-14 so far in that game. It's now halftime. Their first half ran very long. It just seemed to be kind of a inch-to-inch effort. Barrett Donahoe with a 38-yard touchdown to Solomon and Tony. Antonini, something like that. And then Petaluma had a couple touchdown passes. And that's so far, I can tell, those are the scoring. And then another Barrett Donahoe touchdown pass to Luigi Albano Dito, 13-yard touchdown pass.
Well, Kent, as you know, the next 2 weeks we'll be broadcasting Friday Night Football from the Wolf Den.
Absolutely, Aaron. We've got some good games down there.
Next Friday night, it'll be Napa at American Canyon. And the following Friday night, it'll be Vintage at American Canyon.
And that's exactly what American Canyon wants. They want these two Napa schools on their home turf. They want to make a statement saying, hey, we can beat you guys.
Vintage will be at Petaluma next Friday night. Justin Siena will be at Sonoma. Well, let's get the second half started. What do you say? As Vintage will be receiving the kickoff, Crushers lead 30-0 as we get set for the second half of football. Ready to kick off is N. McKissick as he's placed the ball at the 40-yard line, and here's his left-footed kick. It sails end over end down to the 8-yard line, and it's taken there as the Crushers set a good return, and they get it out to about the 45-yard line as Camus Barrett had another fine run, and his mother in front waving that cowbell once again.
Yeah, she's got actually two boys out there playing. She's got two, number 5 and number 22, I believe it is. the brothers, the Barrett brothers. So we know where the Barrett mother is, right in front of us here, Ira.
Yeah, Camus, who returned that ball to the 45, is a senior. The other one is a junior. Under center is Jacob Aaron, and he hands off to Shumko. The King rolls in to Gaucho territory to the 49-yard line on his first carry here of the second half, and he has his regular football helmet on instead of the crown.
That time Shumko ran right up in the A-gap there. Vintage first half is going just off tackle, off tackle, off tackle. They open up coming up right off the A-gap, right off the guard.
So a pickup of 6 yards, making it second down. 4 yards to go. Play action. Quarterback rolls out now. Sets. Fires. He's got a man open. Complete at the 40. 35. 30. Down the sideline to 25. And finally, it is Cutter Lowe that wrestled out of bounds inside the 20-yard line. What a nice move after the reception by Lowe.
Yeah, he was Jacob Aaron was looking deep as they're running a 42 ISO pass, basically. Just running, fake the handoff to the tailback, hiding the ball, looking for the home run. That was covered up. Found the safety valve, which is your deep out pattern. And nice throw, nice catch, nice run.
You know, this score is almost identical to the JV score, which wound up 29 to nothing. Vintage won that. They lead here 30 to nothing. And the ball is carried by into the
Weber.
End zone by Weber. Michael Weber just took that ball.
Off the
and
Wildcat.
Was not going to be stopped.
Yeah, Weber's having a great game, guys. He really is. And I know I've been touting his number tonight, but he actually earns it. He deserves it. That time they were in a Wildcat formation, direct snap to Weber, and he just took off and goes. Coach Leach down the field this second half, Ira. He's been up on the in the box, coaching from the box. He's going to stay down on the field this half. We're going to get a running clock, aren't we, Ira?
It'll be in the third quarter unless the coaches agree on it. The coaches agree. There is the extra point attempt by Gonzalez. It is good. And we're just early here in the second half. And our score, the Vintage Chryslers of Napa 37 and Casa Grande of Petaluma 0. We'll be back after this message. So the Chryslers get on the scoreboard early here in the second half, and ready is Eddie Gonzalez to kick off. Herrera and McHale are deep, and the kick is coming over to McHale. He takes it the 15, starts to his right, changes direction, now goes back to the right across the 25, and he's dropped down at the 28-yard line. Dominic McHale, a 6'1 junior, taking that kick from the Chryslers, getting it out to the... not the 28-yard line. They haven't put the ball down as of yet, but in that vicinity was where he was tackled. So the Chryslers will be making some changes on the defense. We still see Michael Weber, cornerback on the left side, who had that touchdown. Set now is Bossard as he takes the snap back to pass. His pass is complete to the 35-yard line. And as soon as Jordan Grameo got the ball, he was dropped.
Camus Barrett.
He's been in on a lot of them today.
He's having a good play at the DB here. That time his head was to the side. Nice tackle, clean tackle.
5-yard pickup. Quarterback passes out into the right flat. It's complete to Bussey. Bussey tries to get back to the line of scrimmage. I don't think he got back. Or that. I don't know if that was a lateral or not out
there. Well, just a quick pass out there. He throws it forward, but it's barely forward. That time, again, Michael Weber fighting off the receiver's block, comes up, doesn't make the tackle, but he turns the play back inside to give the Vintage defense support to come in and make that stop, Ira.
While it was complete, there's no gain on the play. Bossard's looking at possession play now on third down, drops back to pass. His pass on the slant is complete, and the tackle is made by Shamkel after Jordan Gramajo made the reception and a first down.
If I was Casa Grande, I'd be going to that play. It's just a curl route, little hook curl on the inside slot receiver. It's been open all night long.
Bossard. With the line of scrimmage, the 45 of the Gauchos, back to pass again. He is running out of the pocket. He's being pursued at the 45 and is dropped there by number 45 for the Chryslers, Bryce Eade.
Yeah, Bryce Eade just chased him down from his backer spot.
So number 45 makes a tackle at the line of scrimmage, the 45-yard line. Coming up on 9 minutes to go here. We're in the third quarter, and it's a 37 to nothing Vintage lead over Casa Grande. Bossard, with two setbacks, puts one of them in motion and hands off to the other. He is hit and dropped for a loss. Matt Herrera got the football, and boom.
Colton Fisher, Ira, just met him, says, no, you're not going anywhere. Just set him down on his backside.
So... that is moving the ball back to the 42-yard line. A loss of 3 on the play. Another possession play coming up now for Jaden Bossard. He's only 5'9", weighs about 160 pounds. He's a senior at Casa Grande, and he's back to pass once again. Now he's running out of pocket. Now he is going to be hit and dropped.
Wow.
Well,
Castillo, Schomkel, just chasing him down.
Yeah, Castillo was the one that brought him down, but it was Schomkel that made that possible.
I mean, every player on defense is just chipping in big time here, Ira. Oh. Every one of them's having a night.
You know, absolutely, doing a really good job. So it's fourth down. Back to punt now. McKissick, and a good punt going back, taken at the 23-yard line, and brought back out to the 30-yard line, and not much opening there for Michael Weber. He didn't have any blockers ahead of him. He was looking around to see which way to take it.
And there's a flag down on the play. Don't know what it's for, but my guess is probably an illegal block.
That's what it frequently is on after a punt.
Zach Register for Casa Grande was the one on that tackle, Ira. That's a good open field tackle on Weber.
Yeah, Weber's not easy to bring down.
No, he's not.
Nor is Schomkel. So the penalty takes the ball back inside of the Crusher 20-yard line, back to the 19-yard line.
Good call, Jake, on the block.
37-0. The Crushers are leading the Gauchos here at Memorial Stadium in Napa. And Vinny's looks at first down and 10 from their own 19-yard line. But they've had some long runs now. And they will send into the game Harrison Barrett. There's the younger brother of Camus. And Harrison goes out wide to the left side. And they work a draw, right up the middle. Handoff goes to Camus Barrett, and he's out to about the 24, picked up about 5 yards.
Did you see the hole that was opened up there, Ira? You and I and Jacob could have come through that hole. Good job on that offensive line.
Well, you and Jacob could have made it through there. So here we go. Second down, 5 for the Crusher. Under center now is Aaron. Hands off to the tailback, and just goes close to the 30-yard line as he has Camus Barrett on the carry once again.
It's just not fair when you got Colton Fisher as your lead blocker playing the fullback, you know. Barrett likes that. You know, you got Colton Fisher as your lead fullback.
A lot of substitutions now. Julian Gonzalez has come into the backfield for the, I think, the first time tonight. They have a wide out either side, working under center as the quarterback. And he hands off. Again, Barrett makes a good move. He gets across the 40. They grab him by the ankle as holding onto the ankle was Carson Kerrigan, not going to let go. And Barrett just tried to shake that.
Yeah, here comes Colton Fisher out of the game. He ran 4 straight plays. Coach Leach giving him a big high five there, playing that lead fullback blocker, opening up those holes for Barrett.
He got it out to the 43-yard line where it's first down. The handoff again to Barrett. This time he's not going anyplace. Nice arm tackle in there by Jordan Grameo. And he was...
Comes another package in here for the Crushers. That's what I like about Coach Leach. He's got a lot of different personnel packages. He utilizes different players for different packages, does a very good job with that, mixing it up. That's hard to defense against when you're scouting this team, Ira.
Well, the Harrison Barrett has come out of the offensive huddle. Going out wide to the left side is Joshua Robert now, tight end on the right side. There is the counter and fake to the left and run it to the right and get out to about the 48-yard line as the Crushers on the counter.
First time we've seen that.
Yeah, handed it off to Hatfield.
Yeah, Hatfield's shaking up. He's got that shoulder's kind of...
Oh, yeah, he's holding...
He's hanging there, grabbing his helmet.
Oh, and coming over to the side, Dylan Cook comes over there to...
he's either got a stinger or something's going on.
Yeah, he's coming to the sideline now. They'll have one of the assistant coaches come over and check that out. In the meantime, it's third down and 5 yards to go. Still in Crusher territory. And it goes right to Schomkel. Schomkel takes it and gets the first down and then some. He's at the 45-yard line in Gaucho territory.
See how Schomkel just delivers a blow when he's being tackled. He's the one delivering the blow.
Yeah, he took a direct snap that time and took it into Gaucho territory. coming up on 5 minutes to go in the third quarter. 37-0, the score. Vintage has the lead, and they have the football now in Gaucho territory. They have Shumkel back there again to get the direct snap. And he's going to look for a block in front. He gets it at the 40. He's to the 35, and he is hit and driven out of bounds at the 31. And then a flag comes out. May have been a face mask.
Yeah, I believe you're right, Ira. I think they just grabbed him. They had Colton Fisher over in the right, Bryce Eade over in the right.
They just couldn't bring him down.
No, they just had a power formation, backs right, direct snap to Shumkel. They're just saying, hey, we're going to run right at you. Here we come. Try to stop us.
Billy Burtzel back in there. He's usually been a wide out and usually goes pretty far wide, too, when he is in there. But it looks like it might be a tight formation this time. The penalty moves the ball to the 26-yard line of the Gauchos. Burtzel out wide to the right side now. And they have Troy Gisletta in there at quarterback. A high snap, but he pulls it down and pitches it out to the left side. Here is Mo Castro, the 20, the 10, the 5, and into the end zone goes Mo again.
Boy, what a great pitch by Gisletta. The snap was high.
Yeah.
Threw off the timing, but he was able to get the pitch off left-handed, no less.
Well, that's the third touchdown by Mo. It's only the second one that counts. And one of them was called back.
Castro turned on the Jets, didn't he? And then then the great block out there by Josh Roberts out there on the wideout. Great job execution all the way around. Quarterback to pitch, tailback, wideout on the block. That was great execution.
Eddie Gonzalez attempting the extra point. It's on the way, and it's good. 4.5 minutes to go. We're in the third quarter, and Vintage has moved ahead 44-0 over Casa Grande. We'll just keep it right here and just kind of look ahead a little bit. Casa Grande will have a bye next week, and they might need it to heal up from this game.
They need to lick their wounds here because they are getting shellacked.
So it's been a successful evening for homecoming for Vintage as the JVs shut out Casa Grande 29-0 to go 5-0 on the season. And that was the Casa Grande JVs' first loss. They are 5-1 now. You know, rushing coming into this game, Vintage was averaging 207 yards per game. Casa Grande 129.2, but Casa Grande throws the ball, as we know, and they have been averaging 175.4 in the air to Vintage's 85.8 per contest.
But if I was scouting this Vintage team, I would have some problems because Coach Leach is throwing out different packages. You got Gisletta in there at quarterback. You got direct snaps to Weber, direct snaps to Shumkel, besides Jacob Aaron. I mean, just different looks all the way around.
Eddie Gonzalez approaches the football. His right-footed kick, a spinner, down to about the 15-yard line, and taken there by McHale. McHale starts up the middle as he crosses the 20. He's hit, and he falls forward to about the 25-yard line.
Yeah, cutter low coming from the outside gunner spot, chasing him down, making a nice tackle there.
Well, we will have a running clock in the fourth quarter unless the Gauchos can get some offense and get into the end zone a couple times. They're trailing at 44-0 now here in the third quarter. And the ball is at their own 25-yard line. Jaden Bosarge has gone all the way at quarterback, double wides either side. And he hands off. They try to go to the right side with Julian Gaona. Gaona carries for the first time. He's a 5'8 junior coming into that backfield. Spells his last name G-A-O-N-A. Gaona. As, again, they use a similar set on second down. And, again, they work it to Gaona up the middle. Gets across the 25, but only about to the 26-yard line. Picked up a yard or two.
The longest rushing attempt of the night for Casa Grande is the quarterback ran it 13 yards.
That's been their long.
Otherwise it's the two 15-yard penalties.
Third down now, possession play. Bosarge back to pass, looks down the middle. His pass broken up and batted down over there.
Bryce
that was
Eade.
Bryce Eade again. Nice job there. So the punting unit will be out there now for the Gauchos. Vintage will come out of this in pretty good field position. Vintage is sending Billy Birdsall back to receive the punt. I think it's the first time tonight. He's been back there. The punt is not too good, and it'll bound at midfield and gets a there's a late flag that comes in as the ball rolls all the way down to the 43-yard line. Boy, there's a flag that was way
I didn't see anything.
Wave.
I don't know if you did,
but that's
Jake.
That's because it was not even close to the football.
Yeah, I don't know what happened.
The only thing I could think of at that spot on the field would be roughing, like running under the kicker, but I didn't see that happening. Otherwise, you'd be laying there trying to sell it.
It was late. It was well after the kick, and it was away from the football by about 15 yards or so. The officials are conferring now. And Roy Hammond, the referee. Umpire is Brian Willis. The back judge is Javier Pino. The line judge is Spencer Crum. And the linesman is John Pillar. So Roy gives the indication that the penalty is against the Crushers. He's supposed to look this way when he gives it, but he's been giving it to the opposite side there. But, hey, this is the home side, Roy, that tonight when Napa plays, well, the official gives it over there to that side. So here we go. The ball is actually back about the 29-yard line.
Okay, Vintage coming out with their second team unit here. So yeah, you got to be ready, guys. If your number's called, you got to be ready.
All right, we'll see how this goes. They have Gizletta as the quarterback now. Has them huddled around him there. They break the huddle. He has a full house backfield now and wideouts on either side. And Gizletta keeps the ball, and he goes out to about the 35-yard line. Stopped at just shy of the 35-yard line by Carson Kerrigan, who has moved over from his defensive end to make that tackle.
Yeah, it just showed, ran an option keep, basically just rode the fullback and then followed the fullback up the hole.
Pick up of 4 yards on the play. Second down and 6 yards to go. Staying in the full house. And the quarterback keeps it again. He starts to sweep out but could not make his move to the outside. And so he kept the ball. Tucked it in.
Yeah, running the option again. I think it was supposed to be an outside option, and Gizletta just didn't get there.
No, he elected to keep it on the inside.
Yeah, he had to keep it.
A couple notions, though. He started to make a little shoulder move to the outside, then instead tucked it into the inside. So it's a third down play. The Crushers have not had many third down where they had a possession in jeopardy, and that's what it is now, staying in a full house backfield. And this the ball is dropped, and it's kicked, and it's a scramble for it. And diving in there, I think Bryce Aid was able to cover it up. So Bryce Aid came out.
This is where you get in trouble with the second team, Ira. Nothing against the second team. They don't get a lot of reps in practice, but you still have to be able to execute. And it was just on the mesh, meaning the handoff between quarterback and running back, and that's where the fumble occurred.
Jacob Bittner is going to be the long snapper on this play.
Vintage has 9 guys out there. That's it. 9 guys only.
Let's see.
They only have 9 guys.
Yeah, you're right. There's the snap. And the punt. Oh, they run into the punter after the kick. That'll be a penalty. And the punt comes down and goes into Gaucho territory. And it'll be down at about the 39-yard line. But the Gauchos ran into the punter. And that will be roughing the kicker. So Vintage will retain possession of the football. So we're given 1:17 to go here in the third quarter. Keep in mind that the way the score is standing now, we'll start the fourth quarter with a running clock.
Yeah, 44-0, Vintage over Casa Grande. Vintage is going to keep the ball, like you said, Ivor. It's a big penalty right there.
Yeah. So the ball goes out to the Vintage 45-yard line, still in their own territory, but close to midfield. They have their second and third units in there now, although Miles Oliver is still in there. Or check, not that. That was on there on the defensive side. I'm starting to look now at the Crushers staying in the full house. the give, and they get to just back to about the line of scrimmage. Just working on the clock now as they gave the ball to Mo Castro. That time, you know, Mo's had those long runs every time he's touched the ball, but that time he just didn't have the same line in front of him.
No, there's nowhere to go. That's a good point. This is where, you know, again, if you're on the second team, you want to get your chance here to show what you can do. Get your reps in.
Yeah. Crushers set on the offense, and Gisletta pulls the ball in. He keeps it, and they will get there and sack him there for about a yard loss. They grabbed him by the uniform first, but then the hand slipped off of that, but another tackler was in there to bring Troy Gisletta down at the 44-yard line. Well, that'll be the final play of the third quarter as that comes to an end here at Memorial Stadium. Our score after three quarters of play, the Vintage Crushers of Napa 44 and the Casa Grande Gauchos of Petaluma 0. Back after this.
Is Camus Barrett, is he their normal punter?
I think so.
Well, we'll keep it here then and go to Jacob and take a look at some of the scoring that the Crushers have been able to mount here in the first three quarters as we'll have a running clock in the fourth quarter.
So that last sack on Troy Gisletta was the second sack of the game against Vintage Quarterbacks. And then for Casa Grande, they've been sacked four times so far tonight. So the defensive line of the Crushers is getting in there and getting after the quarterback, who hasn't had that bad of a game tonight. You can tell he's definitely the passer that they want him to be. He had 77 yards on 11 completions in the first half, and then he had 30 yards so far in the second. So he's been slinging it out there.
Troy Gisletta from the shotgun keeps the ball on the snap and was fortunate to hold on to it as he was tripped up there by Jordan Gramejo.
Yeah, and Ira, he just had a hard time catching the snap. He was bobbling that snap. It was a good snap. It just hit, you know, he just couldn't bring it in, threw off the timing. He couldn't hand it off and had to keep the ball himself.
So it's fourth down and 9 yards to go. So the Crushers will punt the ball away. Eddie Gonzalez in there to punt. There's the snap. Gets the punt away. McHale comes over. He'll field it at the 20-yard line. Starts to his right, now to the left. Sidesteps one, spins away from another, and starts to reverse his direction. Then there's going to be a hold against one of his teammates as he is being tackled and goes down at the 32-yard line. Well, he went lateral for quite a ways, but yeah, when he tried to go north or south there, had a little trouble.
Good job on the Vintage coverage team, though, to keep him outside in containment, meaning you're putting the pressure from the outside where he had nowhere to go.
And keep in mind, the clock is continuing to move now. There was a flag, and it's going to go against the Gauchos. That'll take the ball farther back here near the 21-yard line. 10.5 minutes to go, and the clock is continuing to move here in the fourth quarter. Vintage ahead 44-0 as the Gauchos wanting to get on the scoreboard. I think they make a change here in their quarterback, it looks
yep,
like. Too.
Yep, they got their second unit out there as well, or quite a few of them at least.
Yeah, and they hand off, try and go to the left side, but have very little success. The quarterback is Miguel Robertson, who is a 6'2", 165-pound junior. Yep. So he's in there in place of Bosarge.
And Vintage has their second-team unit on defense as well, Ira.
It's good for morale to get these players in.
This is where you want minutes. If you're on the second team, you want games like this so you can get your minutes in and get some reps during game-time situation.
Robertson hands the ball off to Gayona, and Julian Gayona, the 5'8 junior, is stopped at the 25-yard line, bringing up a third down. This is a possession type down. They need 6 yards, a long six, to get a first down. They go to the shotgun formation, double wides either side. Robertson Passes out in the right flat. It is complete there to Gayona, and he is brought down shy of the 30-yard line. He'll be about a yard shy of a first down. A good pursuit over there by the Crushers again to keep that from going for a first down. One of those in there was Anthony Martinez, a 5'9 junior. So it's fourth down, and even though they have a yard to go, they are showing that they're bringing in their punting unit, but not all of them. Oh, here comes a couple in late now, sort of like the Crushers. Here comes another one onto the field. They'll see if they get their full complement of 11 players out there. There's a high snap. And bring it down. And a real good punt. That's the best punt we have seen tonight. It backs the Crushers up to Birdsall at the 25-yard line, and they drive him back inside the 20-yard line. But Billy Birdsall fielded that punt, and it was so high it allowed really good coverage.
That was a great punt by Casa Grande.
Yeah. Now, that punt by N. McKissick, it, by far his best of the night. There's a late flag that has just now come out. That has to be unsportsmanlike conduct, I would imagine, from where that happened. And that's the call. And an ejection, I think.
That's going to be big because you don't want an ejection.
Yeah. Keep in mind the clock is continuing to move. We're down to 7.5 minutes to go. Seems like we just started the fourth quarter, and already we're down to 7.5 minutes to go. The officials have yet to mark the football because they're walking off the penalty now. In the meantime, the Gauchos are ready to come up to the line of scrimmage, but now they have to go back because the line of scrimmage is back out to the 34-yard line. 7 minutes to go. We're in the fourth quarter, 44-0. Vintage in the lead. Casa Grande on the defense now as Gisletta brings the Crushers in the I formation, gives to the tailback who powers ahead and gets across the 40 out to about the 41-yard line as Jakovic, a 5'7 junior. Peja Jakovic carries the ball for the first time tonight.
Think he'd be on the soccer team with that kind of a name.
They do have soccer players out there, Eddie Gonzalez being the most prominent one.
That's exactly right.
Here is Gisletta, the quarterback on 2nd and 3. He hands the ball off right up the middle, and they get the first down, as that was this the option when the quarterback handed off to Dylan Cook, and the 5'8 junior takes the ball to midfield. Looked pretty good going through there.
Yeah, nice read by Gisletta to make the handoff to Zikovic.
So right at midfield now, it's a first down for the Vintage Crushers. Both teams employing their backups now. Crushers on offense and the Gauchos on defense. The quarterback just hands off again, just a straight try to set it up and trap the interior there. And once again, Zakovic gets about 5 yards on the play, making it 2nd and 5. 5.5 minutes to go. As we mentioned, it's a running clock, so this quarter is going to get over very quickly. Just a reminder, you're listening to KVON 1440, Napa, California, the voice of the North Bay wine country, and streaming on the internet at kvon.com. Along with Kent Fry, this is Ira C. Smith as we get set for 2nd down and 5 for the Crushers. Gisletta, there's a flag on the play as Gisletta powers ahead, and he gets across the 40 into about the 38-yard line. But it will be a false start called against the Crushers. So instead of gaining about 7 or 8 yards, they will lose 5 yards on the penalty. That'll back them back to the midfield mark. Clock inside of 5 minutes to go now. Vintage won the JV game 29-0. That was the first loss of the season for Casa Grande for their JVs. It's had an excellent season going. So we're ready for the Crushers back now to midfield with a 2nd down and 10. And Gisletta gives to Zakovic around the right side. Flag on the play, another flag holding against the Crushers as Zakovic starts down the right sideline, and he is driven out of bounds and after a first down, but that will be negated with a hold, I imagine.
Well, the left tackle was lined up offsides, and the line judge didn't even call it.
Yeah.
They could have had three flags on that play.
Yeah, the hold would be the 10-yarder. Oh, this decline. And then there's another one there, and both of them are, both penalties were against Vinny's. The other one, I think, was a grabbing of the face mask or something. It must have been on the defense. If it's an incidental grabbing of the face mask, it's only 5 yards. If it's a serious grabbing of the face mask, that's a 15-yard. And they will walk off, well, they're five.
Ten.
They're ten. No, maybe it was. Maybe both of them were holds. Yeah. Then, the official was facing the opposite way, so we were reading from the backside.
Yeah, Roy's been doing a great job. We just can't see him.
We
have to get on him and make sure he faces this way.
Hey, Roy, Vintage is the home team now. You're supposed to be facing toward the home team. Anyway, we're down to 3 minutes to go here, and it is second down and long yardage for the Crashers. And the direct snap went back to Birdsall, who was in there at quarterback, and he gets the ball over to Zakovic, who makes a nice run with it and gets across midfield, gets into Gaucho territory, where Jeremy Bonner brings him down.
Everybody's getting in on the action, making these pitches and tosses, running the ball.
Bonner gets his first tackle of the night. And it is third down and about seven to go for the Crushers. Wide outs either side. Got two setbacks. Shotgun formation. And Birdsall on the option keeps the ball, and he's dropped right at midfield. Just over 2 minutes to go now.
This is good when you can get your third-string quarterback in there taking some snaps in a game-time situation.
Yeah, it's good that the coaches allow that and all. So now it is a punt opportunity for Eddie Gonzalez. Trying to see who the Gauchos will send back. Normally it's Herrera or McHale. Waiting for the snap, the punt. It's a good one off to the right side and gets a good vintage roll down inside the 5 yard line. And Mo Castro is right there to down it. Wow, what a good roll they got.
Great punt, yep.
So that takes the ball way down there, the 4 yard line. 1:20 and the clock is still moving.
And Ira, American Canyon all over Sonoma. I believe this is a final 41-0.
They use a running clock in the fourth quarter
American
there, too.
American Canyon pitched a shutout over there against Sonoma.
Uh-huh. So we'll get the Justin update a little bit. 1 minute to go here now in this one. So the Gauchos, without their first-team unit, way back there, at the four-yard line, their own four-yard line. They line up in a hurry and hand off, and they try to just to go up the middle. They have Miguel Robertson is the quarterback, and they hand it off to Dominic McHale, who is a starter, and he's still in there. He's just a junior. Two of their fine running backs, Herrera and McHale, are both juniors. And the guy that's quarterbacking now, Robertson, is also a junior. So they have some good young players on the team. With 15 seconds to go, we're going to be running out of time as the Gauchos are not even coming back to the line of scrimmage. They're just walking over toward the sideline. They're letting the clock run down, and it will run out, and that's going to be the ball game. So the game ends as a 44-0 shutout for the Vintage Crushers. And we'll be back with our wrap-up and our selection of the players of the game and scores from other games. Our score at Memorial Stadium in Napa, California, the final, the Vintage Crushers of Napa, 44, and the Casa Grande Gauchos of Petaluma, 0. Well, we're back here at Memorial Stadium. Welcome into our wrap-up along with Kent Fry. This is Ira C. Smith. Jacob Grant will be along here in a moment with the statistics on tonight's ball game. one of the closest contests tonight, one of the better games from this new Vine Valley Athletic League is over at the Dodd Stadium in Napa, where Petaluma is leading Justin Siena at halftime, 21-14. So
yeah, we're trying to get a fire.
They're not using a running clock there.
Not.
They were at American Canyon. They were here at Memorial Stadium.
I'm working my connection to get an update there, and I haven't gotten it yet. I don't know if you do or not.
On Justin, they were running behind us time-wise,
right,
on that, even though we had homecoming activities here at Memorial Stadium for Vintage High School. Jacob, you about ready? You're still compiling there.
Well, I could give it a shot.
All right, let's shoot.
So for your touchdowns for today's game, in the first quarter, with 9 minutes and 39 seconds left in the first quarter, Michael Weber ran one in and then scored a two-point conversion to make it 8-0. And then the second quarter is really where Vintage blew it open. At 9 minutes and 40 seconds, Valami Shankel ran one in, and then they scored another two-point conversion to make it 16-0. And then Hatfield ran one in with an extra point to make it 23-0. Mo Castro ran another one in at the buzzer to make it 30-0. And then in the second half, both scores for Vintage came in the third quarter. Michael Weber ran that wildcat in from 20 yards out, and then they scored another extra point to make it 37-0. And then the final tally of the game for the Crushers was Mo Castro with another rushing touchdown and an extra point to make it the 44-0 score that made it final. Once again, Casa Grande did not score at all, so there's no score report for them. Overall tonight, your leading rusher was Shomkel. He had 110 yards on 8 carries.
Let's call him the king then.
Yeah, his longest was 56. Your next closest was Castro. He had a really good game. He scored 2 touchdowns, both running touchdowns. He would have scored a third if it hadn't been called back. And then for Casa Grande, to look at their positives, despite not scoring, their passing game was on point. They completed 15 of 21 pass attempts for a total of 120 yards complete in passing for Casa Grande. The running game wasn't much to speak of. Seemed to me like they had more negative rushes than they did positive. Their leading ball carrier was the quarterback. He had 26 yards.
And last week, I know he had over 100 yards rushing, and he had 370 total yards for the team. Five of those accounted for touchdowns in the game, as far as 5 rushing touchdowns for the Casa Grande team in that 36-35 win over Justin.
The biggest story for Casa Grande was the undisciplined part of their game. They had a total of 9 penalties for a lot of yardage. I had to get back to you on that, but just in the second half alone, they had 3 penalties for 35 yards. And in the first half, they had a total of 35 yards on 5 penalties. So the penalties did not help them tonight, as they gave up an extra 70 yards of offense to the Crushers.
All right, well, we'll find out about our players of the game for the Vintage Crushers, unless you want to go for one for the Gauchos.
Let's just start with the Gauchos.
All right, look at the scoreboard, and I look at the roster.
You're going to have to help me out. Who was the punter? Was it McKissick?
Yeah, in McKissick.
You know what? He actually pinned Vintage deep. I'm going to go with McKissick because he actually pinned Vintage deep. Unfortunately, their defense couldn't keep Vintage from marching back down the field, but he had some great punts down to the 5, the 10, the 20. I mean,
it was a dandy.
Deep, deep, deep. So
college-type punt that he made there with good hang time.
Yeah, I agree. That would be my guy, McKissick.
Okay, that's a good choice. Looking over the roster, that's pretty good. What about you over here, Jacob? Any thoughts?
It's easy to go with Jaden, the quarterback, just seeing how effective he was. Tonight he was 14 of 20, so he had quite the completion percentage for the most amount of yards. But when it counted, he wasn't able to get it done on offense. Not like he was the entire team, but, you know, as a quarterback, when you're in the red zone, you should be looking to try to punch it in, whether on the feet or in the air. I'm going to have to second Ken over there on that punter nomination.
Yeah, I'll third it then. That was I thought their bright spot was in McKissick.
You know you've had an all around not so great game when the punter's named the star of your game.
That is true, and he did have a workout. Okay, since Jacob's up here setting in for Dino Alessio tonight, we're going to let him lead off here as far as player of the game for the Vintage Crushers.
Schaumkel. Okay. Dude got named homecoming king and ran for a great amount of yards and its score.
Yeah.
Second vote without the if he wasn't nominated homecoming king, there would be a little bit more consideration for Mo Castro. So I would say that they're co-players of the game, only because Castro ran for two touchdowns. He would have ran for a third if it hadn't been called back. So overall, just great offense tonight by the Crushers and some pretty good defense.
Okay. Kent, do you have a thought there? You're pushing for somebody to come up.
Well, I'm trying to get Dylan's attention if I can get him up here for an interview. But I don't know. Who do you not pick? Put it this way, Ira. That Vintage defense tonight, unbelievable. From the front line to the backers to the secondary.
This is one of the games that you could select the defense.
Castro's a great pick there, Jake.
Daniels, Castro. Fisher.
Oh.
I mean, you know, the defensive backs,
Castillo,
Galvin out there, Weber back here.
You had some great performances from everybody. You know, who do you not pick? I mean, it's a whole defensive front as far
as
I'm concerned.
You could pick the Barrett family tonight too.
Well, you could. They look pretty good. I'm going with my boy tonight. I was praising him all night long, and so I'm going number 19, Michael Weber.
That's two in a row times you picked him.
I know it. Slap me hard for doing that, you know. But I tell that defensive front line though, tough.
I'm going to go with Camus Barrett, number 5.
Sure.
But not only because of the offense, but he was a safety back there and did a good job.
Yeah, no, he did a great job. I think I can get Dylan up here.
Okay.
He recorded the only interception of the game, so that was a good pick.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, well, we're going to have a chance to talk to the head coach here in just a moment as Dylan Leach is making his way up to our broadcast vantage point here on the west side of Memorial Stadium. And let's see if he has a smile on his face coming in from that. Dylan Leach, congratulations for that. And I'm going to let Kent Fry talk about the game to you.
Well, Dylan, I know you're extremely happy. Before the game, this is what we were saying. And as you get all situated, scoot yourself over a little bit more there. There you go. He puts on headsets during the game, Ira, and he can't put on a headset right now. You know, we're going to have to cut this guy as a coach, you know. Holy Toledo. Oh, man. So, you know, Dylan, all right, there we go.
All right, finally.
You ready? Yeah. I'm going to start calling you Troy Mott in a second, you know.
That's not a bad thing.
No, that's a terrible thing. Hey, we were saying before the game, one of the things we were saying before the game that you wanted, you know, you had a bye last week. Yeah. You wanted to come out guns a-blazing. I mean, it was just obvious. You wanted to come out guns a-blazing, set the tempo, show the league, we're here. You're going to have to, you know, we didn't play last week. Everybody else got to play. You know, you might have overlooked us, but you better look us now. And obviously that's what happened tonight.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, when you don't get a chance, right, and everyone's got a win or a loss, and everyone's kind of is figuring out what's happening in the league, and so we just told the guys that, you know, we got to come out strong and just play our football, play our brand, right? And that's what we tried to do from the get-go.
Oh, it was a statement, big time statement with a big shutout, and you know, just this is just shellacking. It really was.
The defense, I can't say enough about them. Obviously, the two turnovers early and our turnaround defense to be able to keep them out of the end zone, I just thought was tremendous, and it really gave us a push to keep going on the offensive side.
I can't say enough about the defensive front line. I mean, but your DBs played well, your safeties played well, the linebackers filled in, played well. I mean, the defense was unbelievable. That first half, the defense was unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, we always talk about the three levels, right? And we have to if everyone contributes, it helps everyone out. So if you know, obviously, if the line gets to the quarterback, then the coverage looks real great, right? And if the coverage is good, the line can get there. So we just all three levels have been really kind of understanding each other, knowing where we fit in the run game, and I think that was the biggest part, right? I mean, I'm not sure their run yardage tonight, but it couldn't have been much at this point.
No, I think they, Jake, do you remember
it? On my score sheet, it looks like they have more negative runs than they do positive.
Right, yeah. Yeah, and so and this will never change for any team that I coach is the first thing we talk about all week is if we make them one-dimensional, we'll have a better chance. And so we came in wanting to shut down number 7 and number 32. And number 22. And so we knew that if we shut down their run, and people look at their spread, but last week I believe the play breakdown was 59-36 run versus pass. So
right.
Everyone wants to talk about spread, but really spread is just a hybrid for running the ball.
Well, let's talk about formations, Dylan. If I was defensive your team, I would have a very tough time because you use a lot of different packages, a lot of different personnel packages.
Yeah.
You got the big Colton Fisher playing fullback. You got full house backfield.
Yeah.
You got a wing T look. You got a lot of different looks with your different packages.
Well, I mean, hey, I've been a defense corner in this league or in this, you know, at the school or in Napa High for a long time. And so I know as a D coordinator, I only get 2.5 weeks on the field with my guys. And so if I can make them, you know, have to worry about all the sets that we run, I think we've kind of put ourselves in a position where maybe hopefully they're not worrying so much about our technique and what we actually do.
Well, you got different guys taking the snap. You know, you have Shomko taking the snap, Weber taking the snap.
Yep.
Besides Jacob Barron, you have a lot of guys into the Wildcat.
Yep.
I mean, it's an unbelievable different packages that you present out there on the field.
Yeah, and I think that's a testament to the kids' attention span and their work ethic because, I mean, hey, for guys like you and I, X's and O's are easy, right? I mean,
right.
I've been doing this my
right.
whole life. And
right.
so I can think of everything in the world to do, but what does that matter if the kids can't execute it? And so I think it's really attributes to them and their attention span and their detailed attention to get into those packages.
You know, and I don't mean to single out one player because I this was a definite team effort tonight on the Vintage offense and defense.
Yeah.
And before I forget, you know, how about that 95-yard, you know, run and 80-yard run, you know, back-to-back, you know, the punter,
yeah.
McKinsey, he pinned you guys down there and then you just marched down the field and run.
Yeah, and so, you know, one thing with Mauricio, number 44, is, you know, we haven't been able to get him off since the scrimmage. He was banged up a little bit after the scrimmage, and
right.
so he's finally getting back to it. And you know we're finally getting him back to full speed. So, but we knew he's a dynamic kid with the ball in his hand. You could see that if you watched the scrimmage.
Unbelievable.
So he broke the one. We obviously had the holding call
right.
or whatever it was.
Right.
But I mean those are the kind of speeds he gives us. And then at the very end, before the half, obviously we tried a little pitch and pass.
Right.
We blocked it wrong, but the way they were lining up, I just told Mo. I said, listen, if you can get through that little crease on 44 ISO, you're on your way.
And first half, you're running that outside ISO all night long. It was there. Is that something you picked up in your scouting?
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. I mean, and they actually they came out in on film. They came out in three different sets.
Right.
We tried to even out our time on all three. And ironically, the one that they played tonight was the one we didn't pay attention to as much. So you know, we had plays set up for their other sets. But
right.
Here's the thing. I mean, at this level, if I call four hole something and it's against odd, even,
right.
stack, they better know how to block it
right.
at this point. I mean, we can't just call plays according to one defense. So,
right.
And here's the thing. I'll take Angel Castillo all night long against DN. So I mean, for him, at this was his first night back at tight end. We haven't had him,
right?
And so we've been playing him on defense, but he finally got back tonight at tight end, and you could tell when we were running outside option or outside ISO that he was just kind of caving down that defensive end.
The statement was definitely made tonight. I mean, it really was. And again, I'm going to go back to what I was going to say previously. I don't want to single out one player because it's a great team effort.
Yeah.
But I got to tell you, that first half, number 19 was all over the field.
Yeah, I mean, hey, he's a weapon.
And I was on him 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
I mean, I was literally on him.
Yeah.
Being a receiver, I was on that.
Yeah.
Tonight, he had nothing but praise. I mean, the guy was all over the place. And mainly on defense. getting around that wide receiver or making the blocks and getting around, making the tackles or forcing the tackle back inside?
Yeah, 100%. And that was one of their favorite plays. I mean, we tracked out of the five games we tracked from them, I think they ran the bubble over 82 times.
Yeah, they liked that play.
So we knew that going in. And here's the thing. I trust our cover two corners to get off blocks. And we work a lot on our hand fits. We work the crap out of the techniques to use. And so and when you watch him, whether he juke avoided or he used a hand fit drill, it was almost, to me, that's just what we do in practice, yeah. Right? I mean, so I knew that they were in trouble the first time they ran it because they had us outflanked.
Yeah.
And we were outflanked on the trips. And I saw it from the booth. We were able to make the adjustment, but Michael was able to stop it kind of single-handedly.
Yeah, he had a great night on that, especially the first half. And, but the whole team had a great night. Yeah. Another guy I want to point out to you, though, you know, the king.
The king. I picked the right guy to go, right?
Exactly. Yeah. You know, I mean, but, you know, when he gets tackled, he's going another 10 yards before they bring him down. And he's always going forward. He never steps out of bounds. We're talking about Shomkel. And then number 43, that guy is one tough nut. He's a player.
Yeah, we work a lot on lean, right? And we drag each other around in the practice field, and we work on finishing runs. And we believe in a game of inches, right? If you get another yard, you're going to live to fight another down. And so...
And he's the one delivering the blow, though, on the offensive side. That's what's amazing about him.
Yeah, I know, and he does that. And obviously he didn't get a chance to play a full game. We were really – I mean, I'm okay with it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But at the same time, he hasn't been able to finish a game for us. And we want to run him in the fourth, right? He's the workhorse.
And as a coach, are you happy that you got, you know, playing minutes for your second units out there?
100%.
Even had your third-string quarterback get some playing minutes.
Yeah, 100%. Those guys all work hard in practice. They all contribute. They're all at film every day. They all come and eat with us every day and ice bath and take care of their bodies. And we just feel that those guys need to see the time. And we kept digging deep into the season, we kept telling those guys, trust the process, right?
Right.
We're going to have some opportunities.
Right.
It just didn't come in the first four games against some pretty good teams.
And I know American Canyon had a big blowout over against Sonoma tonight.
Yeah.
Dylan, yeah. We're still waiting for our final update on the Justin game. With Petaluma, but obviously it's looking, you know, American Canyon and Vintage definitely made statements tonight. American Canyon with a win last week, of course, going to go to 2-0.
Yep.
But
what was that score? I didn't even hear.
28-21, the start of the fourth quarter. They're just starting.
28-21, Petaluma. Petaluma over Justin right now, start of the fourth.
Gotcha.
It was 41-0 American Canyon with 6 minutes to go over Sonoma. So, again, I go back to that. You know what? I was telling Ira before that. I know Coach Leach and Vintage just wants to make a big statement here. Having 2 weeks off, not getting that first league game like everybody else got to.
Yeah.
You know, if the other coaches or teams, you know, you can't help it but just say, yeah, well, we don't know what they're like yet. You know, believe me, the statement was made tonight.
Yeah, no, and I appreciate it. Obviously, AC made a big statement too.
Sure.
So, And we tell our guys, we're 1-0 now in the new season. We will be all attention and everything geared toward Petaluma next week. And it doesn't matter what happens in the future if you don't take care of the present.
That's right.
We'll be looking forward to Petaluma, and we'll be studying hard, and we'll be putting in our work, and everything will be geared toward Petaluma.
Everybody come out healthy?
Yeah, I believe so. I think Drew Hatfield maybe got banged up a little bit on his shoulder, but he looks like, you know, we iced it up, and you know, he might be day to day until next Friday, and we'll see how that goes.
All right, Ira, you have a question there?
Yeah, I wanted to ask him a little bit about that JV team. What a successful program that Kyle Shue has going there, as they are 5-0 now. But you mentioned Hatfield. I wondered if Riley Hatfield is a brother of Drew.
Yeah, Riley's a younger brother, Drew. And
Riley scored 2 touchdowns tonight.
Oh yeah, hey, those kids run hard, and they're downhill, and they for being small guys, they pay attention to the little creases in the game, and they find themselves extra yards when they need it.
Also in that JV game, Reed McCaffrey caught 2 touchdown passes. Now one of them was a 48-yarder.
Yeah.
Says Shydell just looked really good. Shydell.
Yeah. Hey, listen, what a huge pickup for us. I mean, both the twins, obviously, William and Wyatt. But, you know, Billy's been doing some great things. And that kid's he's a study guy. He's in on huddle every day. He's asking me questions. And so Coach Shue and his staff have done a great job. And I think that team, obviously, being 5-0, and they played another 5-0 team tonight.
That's right.
And so, you know, and I was all over them about.
Them out.
Yeah, and you know, that's the thing is, you know, they've played some really good competition, and you know, our team has, and they've been able to win those games against pretty good programs. So we're excited about the future here at Vintage.
What about the freshman on Thursday?
Yeah, so we had a mishap, I guess, with the referees. They didn't show up. So Clayton Valley was awesome, though.
They
were good. I mean, we scrimmaged them. We were able to get it in the end zone. They were getting in the end zone. I think with the ones against each other, I believe it was 2-1. I'm not sure, but I thought we played tough in a lot of cases, and I'm looking forward to that group coming up. There's some really good players on that group.
Yeah, the only reason I brought these up is because future bodes well. It looks really good at Vintage.
Yeah, I mean, hey, and the thing is, Kent knows this better than I do, right? You got to create a program, so you got to be able to have guys that buy in at all three levels, and you got to be able to run the same systems and the same terminology, and that's a big part of it. And I think we've created a somewhat of a brotherhood where you know, we have big brothers that as our seniors that will take care of those guys, and so you know, I'm excited about the future, and but again, you know, we live for tomorrow, right? And that's why we're here.
I don't know if I was surprised or not, but the way that you set up the water pick and then went for two on your next attempt after the touchdown, too, and that. Yeah, that was really a tricky play.
Yeah, well, that was a great job by Coach Archer, my defense coordinator and special teams coordinator. He did a great job because, you know, Costa had blocked about five throughout the year coming off that edge. But here's the thing, they never left a safety back. And so he said, hey, let's just do it early. And once we do it, they're going to have to drop off. And what happened is it's exactly what happened. Mm-hmm. We scored. And the next time around, they put two guys sitting in the flat. And it took their rush away, and we never got one blocked. So, I mean, that to me is just coaching 101. What a brilliant job by that man. And he's only 27, and he's getting better and better every day. So I'm really excited about
it
Coach Archer.
It helps to have good people around, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, for sure, 100%.
Yeah. Well, and, you have a lot of other good coaches there.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
And, Coach, is your offensive line returning a lot of the guys, or is it a bunch of new guys? Because I know last year they gathered a lot of praise for their work, and tonight they only gave up two sacks, one in each half, so they performed well.
Yeah, so three of them returned from last year and got a lot of time. Obviously, Jack O'Dell at the center spot's
only a sophomore last year when he started.
And he's the anchor. I mean, we know he tells everyone else what to do almost every play. me and him are in cahoots. He's with me every day at lunch. We talk about the schemes and what we need to do. And that's why I trust that I can call a play, and it doesn't matter what they line up in. Mm-hmm. He does a good job of getting guys in the right spot.
I can't say enough about the defensive line. I mean, that, you know, you got Castilla, you got Colton. I love Colton Fisher.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you got Daniels, you know. But then right behind him, you got the backers. You know, that's a tough defensive front seven there.
Yeah, the front seven got a lot of time last year. And so, you know, what one of the things we're trying to do is, you know, get those juniors in now against competition so we have that luxury for the program coming back. But those guys are monsters, and they're weight room kids. They don't shy away from that. And that's, I think, a credit to how they're playing now is because of their time and the attention they do in the weight room.
Well, Dylan, congratulations on the first league victory.
Yeah,
obviously, week two, your first league victory, your first game as far as league goes. You have five in a row here to go.
Yep.
And this was number one, and Vintage looked exceptional tonight.
Yeah, I can't,
the words just don't describe how well the execution was, both offensively and defensively as well.
I appreciate it, guys. Yeah. I think we're starting to kind of hit a stride with our execution, and hopefully we can keep that going forward.
Yeah, absolutely. Good luck to you.
I appreciate
week.
Your time.
Go get them against the Trojans.
All right. Thank you, guys. Right. Appreciate it.
Thanks for coming up. Coach Dylan Leach.
Yeah, thank you, Coach.
Head coach of Vintage. Join us there for the broadcast. Ira, back to you there, buddy.
You know, I wanted to get your thought on what you thought about the television networks scheduling the 49ers and the Raiders at the same time. They did that last week. They're doing that this week. Both teams are playing at 10 o'clock and all, instead of splitting the time for an early and a late one.
Maybe we should ask Jake, since I'm not a big NFL fan any longer.
I heard of this once famous feature of television, and it doesn't exist from when I've been alive, but it used to be called Picture in Picture. I don't know if you guys have heard of it.
Yeah.
That sounds like the way to watch the game this week. That's never been a feature on any TV I've ever seen. So that would be the way to watch it. Or you go the modern way, pop one on your phone, pop one on the TV, or put on Red Zone.
Well,
Red Zone's the way to do it.
You know me, Jake. I'm not much in the NFL any longer, and NBA especially. But hockey I'm into. But college football tomorrow, you know where you find me, college football tomorrow.
Yeah, I'll tell you, the Sharks schedule, it's coming up, and they look good.
Oh, yeah. Look good.
October 12th. I'll be there. October 12th.
Hey, we'd just like to remind you, next Friday in the Vine Valley Athletic League, Napa High will be at American Canyon. We'll broadcast that game, 6:45 airtime. Justin Siena will be at Sonoma, and the Vintage Crushers, as we heard Coach Dylan Leach mention, will be at Petaluma. Casa Grande has a bye next week. St. Helena will be at Willits next Friday night. Calistoga waits till next Saturday, when they will be at Rincon Valley Christian. That's over in Santa Rosa for a 1 o'clock game. Stanford next week will be at Notre Dame.
That's always a fun one.
Yeah, Cal Bears, after a bye this week, will be hosting Oregon next week.
And Ira, the final over at Sonoma was 47-0, American Canyon over Sonoma. That was the final there.
We were 44-0
right
here.
31-21, the last update I have on the Justin game. Petaluma leading Justin 31-21.
They got a field goal then after the start of the fourth quarter. It was 28-21 at the start of the fourth quarter.
Yep.
So, yeah, that's a good game going on over there at Dodd Stadium. Anyway, any final comment, Ken?
Well, I just like the way Vintage played. I thought they executed the ball, both sides of the ball. They control the line of scrimmage, obviously, but especially on defense. That defensive front line is tough. Those three down linemen with Daniels and Colton Fisher and Castillo, they're tough. They're really tough. And then the backers led by Shomkel. So they do a great job. They're a force to be reckoned with, Ira. I still look for them to win this league. Unless somebody proves me wrong, and I know American Canyon, that's no disrespect to American Canyon, who is obviously 2-0, and I'm looking forward to that showdown in a couple weeks.
Yeah,
I know
we're
there. Not supposed to look ahead because, you know, everybody's got tough games, but I think it's going to be...
Napa goes in there next week.
Goes in there. You know, they've
Napa
had
a bye this week.
They've had a bye. They're putting more points on the board. They need to go down there and shut American Canyon down and let everybody know that Napa is in this league. You know, so that's a big task ahead for them. So, but I really like the way Vintage played tonight. They were clicking on all cylinders.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Jacob? Any final comment?
Tomorrow, myself, the NHL regular season outlook, and all of you wonderful listeners can be listening at 9 o'clock in the morning. Come tomorrow for the Sports Vine, and it'll just be me tomorrow. If Ira wants to join, he's welcome, but it's going to be an NHL season outlook. Talk all of the wonderful teams in the National Hockey League and what to expect come October.
Are you going to talk about tonight's games, too?
Yeah, I will talk about those. I'll give you a recap on all of those.
Absolutely. Jake, I'd be there with you. I'm at a memorial service tomorrow. I can't be there, but I would love to talk NHL hockey with you.
And we'll talk about Chris Davis hitting his 44th home run. It ties his career high, and it makes him the MLB home run leader so far this season. So it's a good game over in Oakland. Their last Friday in those brilliant green uniforms.
All right, well, that's pretty much our story. Our broadcast is sent your way with the good wishes of our Napa Valley Sports Boosters. They're the ones that make it possible, as does our engineer back at the KVON studio, Angelo Lyons. I'd like to thank Kent Fry with his commentary, Jacob Grant with the statistics, and remind you our final scores here at Memorial Stadium on homecoming night in the JV game. It was Vintage 29, Casa Grande 0, as both Riley Hatfield and Reed McCaffrey had two touchdowns each. And the final in the varsity action, after leading 30-0 at half, Vintage went on to win 44-0. Vintage now 3-2, 1-0 in the league. Casa Grande drops to 1-5 overall. They are 1-1 in the league. Once again, from Memorial Stadium, the final in homecoming,
Vintage 44, Casa Grande, 0.
This has been a KVON Sports presentation.